Blog Talk Radio.
Coming soon, don't miss the brand new Hair Radio streaming network show, I Love the 90s. Take a listen back to interviews of the biggest names in music, including CeCe Peniston, Tony Terry, and of course, Destiny's Child. Tune in and enjoy the memorable moments with the Hair Radio and their lineup of amazing artists telling their stories, giving insights, and of course talking hair and beauty, right here on Hair Radio.
Hi everybody, this is Queen Tree, and I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Terry
Crystal Jones Vaughn of Assuage Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello everybody, I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Carrie Hines.
It's time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Carrie Hines.
Welcome to the Hair Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. He's the host with the most, Mr. Carrie Hines.
Good morning, and welcome to an all-new live edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show. We're the longest-running daily live broadcast on hair in the world, 25 years and counting. Now, on today's broadcast, we've got the latest in hair and beauty talk, great music, and much, much more. I must thank our Carapi Hair Products, Hair Nation Expo events, Salon TV Network, and all of our amazing advertisers who are responsible for getting this episode on the air. Now, if today is your first time tuning in, thank you. And remember to press 1 to make a live comment or shout-out during the show. We're here each weekday from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 5 to 8 Central. Now grab your cup of coffee and enjoy today's show.
Oh.
And even if I want to see my car, you want me, I want you, baby. My sugar boo, I'm levitating. The Milky Way, we're renegading. I got you, moonlight. You're my starlight. I need you all night.
Seems like we carry the weight of the world on our shoulders, and that weight is directly balanced between your 2 feet. And with this balancing act, who do you think is suffering? It's not the kids. It's your feet. While running errands, paying bills, or dodging traffic, you could be ruining your feet. Wearing the wrong shoes for the wrong period of time can cause more damage than you think. Hammer toe and bunions are the leading deformities in black women, and Dr. Yolanda Raglan is the first black and only female podiatrist with practices dedicated solely to the correction of these type of deformities. So let this black girl do some magic and fix your feet. For more information, visit fixyourfeet.com, providing medically necessary surgery with a cosmetic result.
I'm Maggie Anderson. I am the creator of the Empowerment Experiment and the author of Our Black Year, my family's year-long stand completely living off of black-owned businesses. When we decided to take on this public pledge, we had no idea how hard it would be. There was only one black-owned grocery store in all of Illinois, and that grocery store closed 5 months before we finished our year. And I have 2 little girls. That means no fresh milk, no fresh meats, no fresh produce. But I put them through that because we took the stand and we wanted really to do something extreme out of love for our community, to expose how few black businesses there still are, to refute negative stereotypes about black-owned businesses, and to expose economic injustice that still persists in America. After the year, I decided that I could not go back to corporate. I could not go back to law. I've made this issue of economic racism and really trying to create economic empowerment in our black community my life. The black hair care firms, they sustained the civil rights movement. Black women created these companies, huge, thriving companies. And we needed that. We talk about Black Wall Street now because we shine a light on what happened in Tulsa. Most black neighborhoods were anchored by these Black Wall Streets. And if we could bring that back, America would be better. I'm not saying bring all of it back. That would probably be impossible. But we can bring black hair care back. There are great black hair care companies that exist, black-owned hair care companies that exist right now. And it would be wonderful for, in America, just like other groups own their culturally relevant products and industries, that the black community can own the biggest black hair care brands, that the black community can own black beauty supply stores. 3% of the beauty supply stores in black neighborhoods, and black people know what I'm talking about. If you go into a black neighborhood, you're going to see a beauty supply store, and they're going to sell all the black hair care products that only black people use, and they are not owned by black people. So I've issued the Black-Owned Hair Care Challenge, just asking everyday folks to say, Hi, my name is Maggie Anderson, and I accept the Black-Owned Hair Care Challenge. And tell the world that from now on, if I'm going to buy Black hair care products, I'm going to make sure it's from a Black-owned company.
It's the Digital Diary for today, Tuesday, February 15th of 2022. I hope you had a glorious Valentine's Day. And we're going to continue the love celebration throughout today's edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show. It's our show number 672 as we march towards show number 700 very, very soon. Now, we're working on a special broadcast celebration. We'll keep you posted. Now, coming up today, we have a classic interview revisited with a superstar hairstylist, and she's also the editor of the San Diego Monitor News. We're talking about Miss Cheryl Morrow, and that's coming up. And then mid-show, we've got a scheduled appearance by legendary hairstylist who's going to be with us live, Mr. Eugene Davis. And also, a brand new episode airing at 8 o'clock special time this week for the Vet Talk radio show. Michael Hopkins, the host, actually interviews a retired captain about his extraordinary career. And then is joined by his own producing panel, Michael's Angels panel. So lots to come on today's show. Also, if you've missed any part of today's live broadcast or want to catch the replay across our social media or at our 24/7 Hair Radio streaming network, it'll replay at noon there twice, back to back. So definitely go to hairradio.com, that's H-A-I radio.com, to listen around the clock. Also, Hair Radio Media Promotions has a brand new office telephone number. Please grab your pen and paper and keep this handy or program it into your phone. Again, it's our office number. It does not affect our radio numbers or any of the other numbers that you have. But it's toll-free number 833-402-8882. I'll say it again. That's 833-402-8882. The great news is it's at the top of our website at hairradio.com. So if you go there, you'll see it, no problem. New office hours, Monday through Friday. We're open between 9 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern Time, and we are closed on weekends. Now, I'm Carrie Hines, and this has been your Digital Diary update for today, Tuesday, February 15th. And now back to our show.
Ladies, do you love a man with a well-groomed and sexy beard? Men, do you suffer from patchiness or irritation and want a fuller beard? Well, let me introduce you to the hottest beard care products on the market. Rugged Evolution features 16 amazing balms, oils, shampoos, and accessories. Our products are sure to meet the demands of all your beard care needs. For more information, go to ruggedevo.com. That's ruggedevo.com.
And remember, rugged is the new smooth.
Coming soon, don't miss the brand new Hair Radio streaming network show, I Love the 90s. Take a listen back to interviews of the biggest names in music, including CeCe Peniston, Tony Terry,
it's for real, what I feel.
And of course, Destiny's Child. Tune in and enjoy the memorable moments with the Hair Radio and their lineup of amazing artists telling their stories, giving insights, and of course, talking hair and beauty right here on Hair Radio.
You're listening to the Hair Radio Broadcast Network. I'm Carrie Hines. And today we have another great guest with us. Her name is Ahava Felicidad. She's from the state of New Jersey. Ahava, I'd like to welcome you to Hair Radio.
Thank you, Carrie. I'm happy to be here.
Absolutely. Well, it's my pleasure to have you with us. And I want to jump right on in. Tell everyone about your salon and what you do.
Well, it's called Ahava Felicidad Hair and Body. what I call a growing holistic care organization, and it is headquartered in Upper Montclair, New Jersey at Studio Pure by Ahaba Felicidad. So it's a cozy studio space located in the town where I actually grew up in, so I'm a native of Montclair. And what services are offered here range from consultations, which include regimens and product recommendations, hair practice and care, sharing hair stories and finding out more about growing back hair from hair loss or breakage and just taking better care of hair. We also provide styling, so I do scalp hair and styling here at the studio as well. Mix and make natural products. Have some distributor products here that are all natural and organic for, you know, anyone who's just maybe new on the journey or they've been on the journey for a while and they want to take everything they do to the next level. I also offer classes, so technique classes and also certificate classes for professionals and for clients.
Now, what kinds of classes do you offer?
The classes that are offered range from classes like two-strand and three-strand twisting, cornrows classes. There's one particular class that is called the Soft Style Trio. It's a new class where clients can come in and learn how to do French rolls, make mini buns, what we call thin buns, and make pineapples in the hair, and that way they can care for their hair and do some styling in between sessions. There are also classes on cylinders and microlinking, so braidless weaving techniques.
Tell us a little bit more about that, if you will.
Well, the classes on cylinders, that's really exciting because it is a technique that I find more so, it's not talked about as often to cross over into working with kinky, curly, and wavy hair. It's a technique that you see most times just on done on straight hair or hair that is has been relaxed. So this class that we offer goes over how to work in natural hair and who you can provide cylinders for if their hair is not strong enough for braiding in a traditional weave with the weft, and the person wants to get their scalp. They also want to have a look that lasts a little bit longer than maybe a traditional weave or a crochet would. And we talk about in the class and train on how to care for the hair, what types of cylinders or hair would be installed for the client, and go over how to care for the hair as well as educate the clients on how to care for the hair.
Now, you have got to tell us, Ahaba, how did you get started in this business and you know, what inspired you so much to be so passionate about this?
I've been doing hair since I was a child. So I would say this goes back really far. We'll say middle school for the extensions, but I actually started braiding my own hair around the age of 5.
Oh, my
goodness. Yeah, I've been doing hair for a long time. Then I started helping other people with their hair in middle school. And I would say I do have a cousin who put extensions in my hair, and I felt what she did, and then I just began doing this. Now, the passion came from a mentor that I have, and the mentor, my mentor, Dr. Brown, told me, well, you know, you love to do hair. This is what you do. You do this really well. You know, he watched me with a few clients and said, well, this is where you need to go. This is where you need to be. I see that you're very happy when you do this, because I am very happy when I'm working in hair. So around 2009, I started really doing more consultations. But I would say even all through undergrad, I did hair. And I assisted and gave recommendations on hair care even before I transitioned to natural. So hair is just inherently, it's just an innate thing in me. For anyone who's what I call a part of any type of collective, there'd be a collective group of artists. And I had a conversation with a client about this actually today when she said to me, well, when did you learn how to do three strands? Or how did you learn that? Did you see someone else do it? And I said, well, no, actually, one day I was working in hair and it just came to me to try three strands going in one direction. And then after that, I looked it up and saw that there were a few people doing this online. I went through all the ways that this technique can help with natural hair. And then I just continue to learn from there and let things come to me. And then I'll find out, oh, there's a few other people who may do this, but they're doing this on their own hair, not in practice to take care of others. So I actually will do this on my own hair and in practice to take care of others and help them to help to take care of themselves.
Wow. So you have to say that this is you really serving as an inspiration for others.
Yes, and I have been told that, but I've been an inspiration. I've been an inspiration for many women going natural, an inspiration for naturals to do more with their natural hair, because I have been told, well, this is amazing. You actually help us. You'll teach us, and you'll do our hair. Like, we never find anyone who does that because, everyone may not have that teacher in them. And I actually still have, the teacher in me where I want to share, and I want the legacy to carry on and to grow. And without sharing it, that won't happen.
I agree. Now, you did touch on this a little while ago, but I want to find a little bit more details about this because I honestly had never heard of the cornrow certification. Would you be kind enough to share with our listeners a little bit more detail about that? I think that would be great.
Yes. Okay. So I've just recently created a cornrow certification, class or actually program. So I have three levels of teaching how to cornrow. Now, of course, someone would already have an affinity for and some skills with braiding or creating cornrows. So most people who would come into a certificate class of this nature or program already know how to braid, and then they're just looking to go to the next level. So I have a basic class, which would be called Natural Hair Newbie. In all of the programs, there's a natural, like an intro, which we call a novice, an intermediate, or an advanced. So with this cornrow cert program, there's actually an intro where you're practicing cornrows and you're required to actually do cornrows going straight back in several different number of cornrows. Then in level two, we go over everything we went over in level one as far as care and styling and, how to co-wash the hair, things about caring for natural hair and transitioners. The next level of cornrows requires more intricacy. So we would do shapes and zigzags and crisscrossing and mandalas and things of that nature. The level above that's an advanced level that would be more for like couture and runway, where I love to work with copper and ribbon and hemp cord and satin cord, and so do others. And then they would learn how to install feathers, how to install ribbons, how to loop through on a crochet technique, satin cord to create accents in the hair. We also do threading with yarn or with thread, even silk thread, silk hair tinsel, like fun hands-on accessories that will go in the hair for the very artistic styles. So you get everything with the three-part cornrows class. So cornrows are something that aren't traditionally taught extensively in a beauty program. That's something that's inherent, cultural, it's spiritual, it's educational, it's emotional. The more you practice, the better you're going to get. So the CERT program allows the practice and the longevity, and also then me being right there to say, okay, this is, you're doing really well, and then anyone else who's on our team that's a cornrows expert would be able to help and promote and support these designs, and then you're tested on the skills and then also the hair care knowledge.
Well, we have got to tell everyone how to find you.
Oh, definitely. It's so easy to find me. The number into the studio, there's a studio mobile. It's 973-619-2855. There's also a second line, which is a dedicated line for Team Natriotic, so that's team members who are patriots for, loyal to the natural hair movement and everything natural and chemical-free, and also for other services that would provide, including body wrapping. That number is 201-921-9894. You can also find myself and then any posts that I make or pages for Hava Felicia Dodd Hair and Body at havafeliciadodd.wordpress.com. And that blog actually functions as a website. We have a Facebook page. The Facebook page has some great albums of some foundation clients. So clients who've been with me since the beginning of the journey, you'll find pictures of them in different albums, and it'll show befores and afters. You can also find me on YouTube at Ahava Felicidad, the Holistic Hair Healer. There are some fun YouTube videos on there. It's not
just hair.
Yes,
I watched
hair.
On it too, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like a nice well-rounded view of me and then other interactions with me and clients. And, of course, more videos to come and some things that may be like tutorials, but more of hair healing experience and getting to know me as a person.
Well, I have to say, from all that I'm learning, and you've done quite a bit. You've got quite a few things going on out there. But I love your commitment to those who are transitioning. And,
yes.
You know, it's, yes, please speak to that, because you're really able to, I think that, you know, especially for a lot of the women, that they'll be able to really relate, and they can relate, and I think that you really have walked so much and created such a path, and I just wanted you to speak to this art of transitioning and so forth.
The transitioning.
Yeah.
There are going to be women that are just not ready for the big chop. It's called the big chop. I call it the leap of faith. When I actually cut my hair, I called it going turkey, and this was in the late 90s. Yeah, that's what we call it, the going cold turkey. Like when you quit something, you go cold turkey.
Right.
And then natural movement began to blossom, and this big chop concept came in. So I feel like I was one of those naturals at the very beginning of this next influx of transitioning and going natural. Transitioners need assistance with everything. So what happens is, because the scalp is now detoxing from chemicals, a lot of women transitioning experience an extreme amount of itching and flaking. And that's coming from detoxing, and the body detoxing from now stopping the chemical relaxer.
Mm-hmm.
You need help with that, and you want to talk to someone, and they'll, of course, come to talk to me about what's happening, and I'll help them to get hydrated on structured water, also sugar scrubbing the scalp. Transitioners need to know their options on transitioning. So I will have the consult and say, okay, well, this is your hair texture and density, if I can see it. If they have about 3 inches, that's when we can really see more of the texture. One inch to 2 inches may not be enough. Most transitioners, it's really going to depend on their lifestyle. So if they like a particular hairstyle, we have to go over, well, what types of styles do you like? What types of styles do you need for work? And we have this conversation about texture, density, length, and if they can rod set to transition, if they can blow out and ceramic press to transition, if they can 2-strand flat twist or 3-strand flat twist to transition. They may be able to braid or crochet, which is my favorite technique, and I would say I'm the crochet queen. I love doing crochet because crochet is another way for transitioners to make a smooth transition when they want longer hair, or they just want this particular look that, you know, they may not be able to get with their natural hair right away, but then cornrows are placed as a foundation and different hairs or fibers are looped under the cornrow and tied to create like a full head weave. This can also be done with partials. So we have the conversation about the journey. We go over the entire, you know, if you grow half an inch of hair in a month, in 2 months you're going to have an inch, in 6 months, you know, the average person grows, in 6 months the average person is going to have about 3 inches of hair, in a year, 6. So quantifying that and also giving quality to that experience helps naturals to connect with expectations, like managing an expectation of, well, how fast my hair is going to grow, and then what styling options I want to try. And then they get to just start having fun with that. And then we'll gradually trim ends. As the hair grows out, they can just trim. So some naturals, it may be 5 months. Others can transition 18 months or longer. It's so much based on their hair texture and density. Not as much the length, but texture and density are going to play a part in how long they can take the transition.
Well, they've got the perfect partner. If you've just joined
us,
you're listening to the radio show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, we've got with us Ahava Felicidad. Now, I love this, and your shop, again, is called, it's Studio Pure by Ahava Felicidad.
Yes, Studio Pure by Ahava Felicidad. And the buy comes from the experience. So there are different hair healing experiences that also take place at the studio. So that's the buy, because there are experiences that are being created here. Even some of the rod sets have names. There are classic deep treatments, and there are Renaissance deep treatments. Renaissance comes from my favorite time period in history, the Harlem Renaissance. Of course, then there's also the Renaissance period for classical music, and that's where the classical or classics came in. It's from my love of classical music. So I said, well, you know, what are my standards? My standards are classics. Mm-hmm. And then we'll have classic essentials. We have classic carrier oils. We have classic deeps. A classic deep will be a sugar scrub with an oil and a natural conditioner. A Renaissance deep will have three or more essential oils, and it's an aromatherapy experience, because I also do aromatherapy and essential oil therapies. And that's all a part of the studio tour experience. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Now you it sounds that way. Now, I think we mentioned the name, but we didn't tell everybody again where it is. And I want to make sure they have your address and the phone number, however they need to come mm-hmm. out, because you make it sound so great.
Okay. Yes, it's great. Now, everything at the studio is an exclusive session. So everything that's here is by appointment, or by what's called by reservation. So clients will call in to reserve. There's also the option to get a gift certificate, and then you get a gift certificate, and then you call in to reserve. So the studio is located at 260 Bellevue Avenue in Upper Montclair. It's on the second floor inside the movie theater building. So I'm in a building with a historic building, actually, with the Bellevue Movie Theater.
We're inside
there. So you won't see it just from the street. You would have to call in, and then on the blog it tells you how to get in, where to park and everything when you're coming in for services. When there are open house events, those go out to the client list, and then they're also posted on the blog, places like Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. It could also be announced in a YouTube video if there's going to be an open house. So I would like to one day soon to be able to offer like open, you know, some open store hours to just come in.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also a space for natural artists. So there are walls, plenty of walls here for anyone who's in the natural community and also does art, in order to expand us out culturally. Events like that can be hosted at the studio.
Wow. Sounds so creative, of course, obviously.
Yes.
Well, listen, I tell you, you are just doing some dynamic things. Now, what's next for you? You've accomplished so much. What's next?
What's next for me? Okay, that's a great one. What's next for me would be to create another certificate program. Maybe do some television. That would be fun. Well, I love the certificate programs, because I get to teach others how to improve their skills, advance their skills, and help more people. So that part is very important to me, is continuing on the creating the programs, and then, of course, filling those programs so that more natural stylists have the concept. And it's the Ahaba Felicidad concept. So they're also being taught what I do. Mm-hmm. So if someone wants to learn more about essential oils, they can learn that. They can come in at different levels and decide, you know, well, how far you want to go with what you're going to offer. And then it could also be someone who wants to join the team. And what's next will be another series in May, if not May, maybe June, of eHow videos. I also am an eHow presenter, so I'm a hair expert there. And I've just run a series of 10 titles on styling wavy curly hair. The next series will be on kinky hair, some with lock
twisting. How do they see those videos?
Those videos will be released in about 2 weeks.
Oh, okay.
And they'll be released on they'll be released on eHow soon.
Okay. Sounds great to me. Well, listen, I have to tell you, you're just doing so many wonderful things, and we want to take a moment to really say thank you. You are a trailblazer.
Thank you.
You really are. And you're doing some good things. So, listen, from the Hair Radio Show, did you have anybody that you want to shout out to or mention?
I want to thank God first, my family, and, of course, the makers of Dr. Brown's Healing Water, which has helped me further myself and continue to help me further myself on the journey and helping others with their hair and scalp care, their energy, you know, keeping me in good health as a, you know, well-rounded businesswoman, mother, entrepreneur, speaker, motivator. Yeah, I would like to thank them. And thank you, of course, for the opportunity to interview.
Well, listen, it's really been my pleasure. And you keep doing what you're doing. Okay?
Thank you.
We're not going to have it any other way.
We can't have it any other way, and it's terrific Tuesday.
Thank you. Well, Ahava, thank you so much for being with us on the Hair Radio Show.
Thank you.
Clint Beast on the board.
You niggas be tripping.
What up, bro? You rocking with Statewide Shit. I'm inviting everybody to take a look and listen to see what I got going on. Catch me streaming on all music platforms under Statewide Chip or Statewide Bosses. You can also find me on social media, Statewide Chip on Facebook, Statewide Chip Official on Instagram, and Statewide Chip or Statewide Bosses on YouTube.
Are you a stylist, barber, nail tech, or involved in personal care on any level? Are you good at what you do? I bet you are. And as being as good as you are, that leaves you less time to handle your clients. I mean, as far as booking appointments, product sales, pricing, and all that. Well, I have something that'll help you on that end and still allow you to be great. ChairWatch. It's a new mobile booking platform that allows your client direct access to you. It'll allow them to book, change, cancel appointments, place themselves on standby, buy products, and even be able to send you direct messages. And that is just a taste of all the services that ChairWatch provides. Sounds good? Then check it out at chairwatch.com, or you can download the app via the Apple Store or Google Play. ChairWatch, a new and better way to connect with your clients.
It's time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Carrie Hines.
All right, we're back live. Yes, you're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. It is Tuesday morning, February 15th of 2022. And we really have just an extraordinary show ahead. Coming up next is one of my favorite classic interviews. It's with Cheryl Morrow. You guys know her. She's from she's out here in New York as well, but she lives out in sunny San Diego, and she's actually the editor of the San Diego Monitor News, and like I said, she's an acclaimed hairstylist and educator. I'd like for you guys to take a listen. It's early. Take a listen. We'll talk afterwards. We've got a lot more coming up. Live Talk Mix Show with Eugene Davis. So he's scheduled here about 7:30 this morning, and then right after that at 8 o'clock, we have a very, very special edition of Vet Talk Radio Show. They're celebrating their 25th episode today. So that's coming up all this morning on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Plus, I have some amazing program announcements you don't want to miss. So all of that is on the way. So we'll go ahead and get on Cheryl Morrow. Again, it's Tuesday morning. We're live this morning out of New York City. Hope you guys had an extraordinary Valentine's Day. And again, we're going to keep all that love fest going this morning on the broadcast as well as throughout the week. And as I said, we have some amazing announcements ahead. So here is the classic interview with Ms. Cheryl Morrow. And again, we'll talk following this piece. Just stay with us. Like I said, we've got a lot more of the Hair Radio Morning Show to get to.
Oh, well, I think with all of the conversations that I've had probably in the last year, Carrie, and of course, you know, we've had our industry here, beauty and skin, and, you know, ethnic beauty has taken a hard hit. So I think one of the most important projects to me is to tell my story of just how I grew up in black hair care. At the beginning of the boom, the billion-dollar economic industrial revolution of what we call the curl, even though we were coming out of pressing curls and going into the Afro, So that's one of the things I'm working on is a documentary of my life and how I grew up in black hair care. And some of people, it's funny, you know, because people would always say, you know, we had all this wealth and black dynasties and generating black wealth, but where did the kids go? You know, where did the
exactly.
money go? Where did that whole wealth gap, where is it? And so I felt, you know, a sense of responsibility to at least tell it from my perspective. So that it's almost like that all that wealth kind of like evaporated. And
well,
so,
that's what I'm going to ask
you, know,
you. Yeah, where did the money go? Where? That's the question,
yeah.
The million-dollar question here, literally.
Yeah.
We're talking about
yeah,
generations
you know,
of hair industry
yeah.
superstar folks.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And, you know, so
it's a complex conversation because you can't talk about where the wealth went until you talk about there's a conversation that I do address called gerontocracy. And gerontocracy is
wow.
when the passing doesn't happen. And your predecessors stay too long. And they stay too long because they're not adapting. And we always talk about how companies should adapt to the, you know, you adapt inside before you see signs of the changing of the trend or changing of the times. And so there's a thing that and when you get into the 70s and 80s, most of those companies were ran by men, black men. And so black men tend to look at their children differently.
Watch the show, Marl. No,
black women. You know, no, they do. And it's, let's just say, you know, you have your John Johnson. You have your George Johnson. You have your Mr. Dudleys. You have your
right.
Mr. Marls. You have your Mr. Bronners. You have the Whirl of Curls and the Donnies and the Leisure Curls. You had these men. And so they did have children.
Mm-hmm.
But,
right.
you know, the limelight
right.
is addictive. The limelight is addictive, and they just don't see the continuity of their legacies through their children. It sounds like a good thing. They know they should do it, but they don't do it. You know, and so there's
I really
a
love this conversation.
Yeah, it's a cultural thing. And then when you have the Eunice Johnsons and the Celia DeVore, and you have the Dr. Katie Wickhams, and you have this, when you have women, they tend to let go a little easier. So those legacies can continue. But there is just like a real cultural thing. And then I get into it into the documentary because it's real talk.
Mm.
You know, this is not just
wow.
us wanting to pass wealth. Not us wanting to just close wealth gaps. You can't close wealth gaps if you don't have the continuity of the predecessor into the succession plan, which is your children.
I agree.
You can't close
a
gap because the gap keeps getting wider because white America keeps passing it on and locking it within their
mm.
culture. We don't. It's a cultural thing.
We don't
I get
really,
into that.
It's a
yeah, we don't get it.
Well, let me
yeah,
ask you about that
think,
a little bit, Cheryl.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to ask you about that yeah. because, you know, I mean, on a simplistic term, in a
mm-hmm.
very simple way, I talk to a lot of hairstylists, you know, throughout the years, and I always ask them about, you know, they open up the shops, and I very basic. I say, well, what about your kids, you know, or they helping you or working at the shops and, you know, and this and that. And they cannot get those kids to help them at the shops. The kids generally take it for granted. You know, they've got all the money that comes from, the parents' hard work at these salons and barbershops. And they just go on and living a very, great life from the benefits of the financial aspect, but they do nothing to support the parents' hard work, and they truly are not going to be heading up any kind of, taking on a business
That's just not even on the table. And I always wondered about that, and I kind of think about it for my own company. So this is something that is very, very important, and it's a big disparity between the African-American community with regards to succession, I call it, and the and the people who are outside of our community. So this is really something that is very interesting to me, and I know you're on a different level with it, but it just, I don't understand. Is it just just something that the kids don't, you know, should we expect them to want to, you know, pass, you know, to continue on in their, with their parents' legacy? You know, well, is this something?
Think about it, Gary. I didn't want to be a barber. My father started out as a barber.
Right.
The key here is that Mr. Marl created a company. Now, think about it. Most hair, you know, because I'm a hairstylist, I get it.
Yes.
The problem is that their hairstyling portion of their business is not a company. So there is no room to do other things besides maybe promotions or marketing of the, the parents' actual skill sets, which is doing hair. Where else is there other means of doing something else if the child or if the offspring is not doesn't want to do hair? And just think of this analogy, and I always tell them when I get this question, you know, would I really want to inherit a cotton picking business? You know, black people pick cotton, you know, would I want to pass that on? You know, so the physical portions of, you know, businesses are not companies. Businesses is one thing, and a company is another. So in a company is encased, which I always tell people, I'm an intrapreneur. I'm not an entrepreneur. I don't need to make anything. I don't need to discover anything. I don't need to do any of that. What I need to do is to come in with something already formed and take it to the next level. So because my father had a company, right, he had a company which had, you know, roots, and then it springed out with branches and leaves. So there was so many branches to him because they and just take the Johnson daughter, you know, with Ebony and Jet. Because Ebony and Jet and was really actually a beauty business. They were Duke and Ravine, just relaxer, and Duke was a men's line. There were so many other things to do within Johnson Publishing. So it was an actual company.
Right.
So that tends to allow the successor to kind of fit in and take the reins. But if you are just a business, which hair salons are, it's tied to the parents' physical skills. And yeah, you really have a very difficult time with that, with the succession plan.
Well, now you are talking about in this, in your upcoming documentary, we're talking about some of the biggest names in the hair industry. And so I'm just, one of the things that jumps out at me, have you heard any feedback from some of those, you know, some of those families, some of those super well-known hair industry superstar families? Have you gotten any feedback
yet?
What are their thoughts?
Well, the problem, when you are acquired by big companies like Procter & Gamble or L'Oreal, and you evaporate. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you there is nothing to, unless you stay on as a consultant or something of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
But no,
and that doesn't
usually
last too long. Yeah, eventually.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, Cheryl Morrow. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Just amazing.
Yeah.
Just amazing. I'm looking forward to this documentary.
I was in the studio doing San Diego Monitor News business as a publisher because we now had it at a podcast studio, right? And in the middle of I get a phone call from Chicago or someplace, and they want, you know, 1,000, you know, Willie Morrow blow-dry novels. It's just that, you know, here I go. I'm in the newspaper, but I get calls about something that was created over 45 years ago, and it's still the number one heat tool on Amazon. that is succession.
Well, let's tell everybody, I have to take an order for something in beauty.
Yeah, it's an amazing thing.
Exactly.
Because that's a company.
I absolutely want to remind everybody about the amazing legacy and lineage that you have. So we're talking about the Morrow family dynasty. So I'm in the hair business, and your father, as you just mentioned, that starting with the novel, tell us a little bit about his invention, because that really, that hit the mark out there and made him pretty much a household name in the hair industry, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, just combs, period. I think that in those 60s, 1964, bringing to commercial market is the brilliance of Mr. Morrow. Not the fact that creating or duplicating something that had already been done in the continent of Africa. So the comb in and of itself is not the invention. The invention is to be able to put it in industrial commerce to make it available. Because if you didn't go to the continent of Africa in 1963, 1964, you wouldn't get it.
You wouldn't get it, right?
Yes.
Correct.
So the ability for him to take it, to redesign it, patent it, take it to the U.S. Congress, put it into commerce, and to commercialize it, monetize it, right, and productize it.
Yes.
And make it available for black people in the West Indies, black people in North America, black people in in Europe, and black people in Asia, black people in Africa too. They didn't know it was a thing, you know. So we could fashion and style our hair and be a part of the secular world. So the Afrocomb was put in the secular world by Mr. Morrow, by redesigning it and industrializing it. It's the same process as taking tobacco. Yeah, tobacco is natural in its environment, but to make it be consumed and then enrich yourself by that great legacy called an Afrocomb, and then making other people have it in Cuba and in Hawaii and in other places. So that was the brilliance. And then to create this generation, and then you have the first one, and then the next generation of them, and then to have utility patents, and then go into, you know, making a comb and a blow dry so we can have blowouts and straighten hair and things of that nature. That was, I think, the difference between a Mr. Morrow, a Joe Dudley, a gardener, a machine, a different angle. To being part of the legacy of ethnic beauty.
Absolutely. And I just want to also bring attention to that documentary, because to me, 400 years without a comb was so far ahead. Now, documentaries are a lot more, out there. Maybe it has a lot to do with the pandemic that we have come through. But I do want to say that the documentary, that documentary really started a lot of the hair industry documentaries, if you will, to me. I think it's one of the most well-known and most seen hair industry documentary in the world. So, and we're talking about 400 years without a comb, and it's still out there, and I'm just loving that. So, again, we're talking about hair legacies and loving it.
Yeah, it started out as a book. And I think that is probably one of the reasons why it's the hair care, you know, historical Bible that everyone goes to, you know, because it's a three-generation book. In all three decades, Mr. Morrow rewrote it. And then in the last... the fourth quarter of its generation and its edition, he created, and Mr. Morrow just really deals with the culture inside of the plantation, and it starts there, because the commercial market that you and I enjoy was started on the plantation. It formed itself into And because of that complete disconnection for about three centuries, that disconnection from the world's first organized beauty kind of, you know, that activity, the way we did it, you know, it was not quite done. When Europe went to colonialize Africa, that is where they learned hygiene. The roots of beauty is hygienic, not, you know, fashion and styling and things of that nature. But it was basically really had its roots in hygiene. And I think that this was starting there, only a black person could have done that, Gary. You know, no one cared about
absolutely,
obviously, how you fashioned absolutely yourself and cleaned yourself and how you, you know, became this really sophisticated society and culture, and how you, you know, you did things, you know, with your body and your health and well-being. No one was interested in that type of story. So, yeah, once again, Mr. Morrow hit it on the head, you know.
And it didn't stop there. The San Diego Monitor News, I want to talk about that. Can you tell us a little bit, for those who are outside of the California experience, if you will, what exactly is that? And I believe that it you go everywhere with it. So tell everybody about it.
We turned from New York. I lived in New York for 19 years. And, you know, one of the things that, and this is me, you know, I'm going to tell this story in the documentary. One of the reasons why Mr. Morrow got into publishing is not really because he had a great love for journalism, but black people don't really understand that it's legacy to get a newspaper. All hair care men, all hair care families, it was almost like a rite of passage. You had to get a publication. You know, most people think that John Johnson got the publication and then got into the hair business. No, John Johnson, was already in beauty. So their mentor, S.B. Fuller, always told them and taught Joe Dudley, George Johnson, which is Ultra Sheen, Johnson Products, and then John Johnson, which was Johnson Publishing. When you start your beauty line, you get you a newspaper. So Mr. Morrow was just following the great recipe and the great formula of success of S.B. Fuller, one of his mentors. So
yes,
all of them got newspapers. So Mr. Morrow got created one in San Diego in 1986 because of the mentor Bill Thompson. In creating, S.B. Fuller always taught them that you create your own advertising tool. So if you get on the cover of somebody else's publication, that was fine. But make sure that you are always, you create a product, you got to have a way to advertise it. So create a magazine in and of itself. Put some content. And you see how forward they were, actually? And
oh,
you
yeah
think about
oh,
how,
yeah.
So,
and,
how
and
powerful
that,
content
yeah
is today. Yeah.
But oh, absolutely! They were way ahead.
Yeah, it was.
Wow.
Yeah, it was. You know, it was to be the power of the advertisement. You know, be ahead. Put yourself on your own cover. Put yourself. You know, look bigger than you know you actually are. You know, put your own content out there, your own stories, and then put yourself on the you know on the cover, and then put your own ads. And yeah, so it was always about advertising, the actual
yeah
root business. So that's how Mr. Morrow
exactly
got into it. And then, of course, and it just rolled into a journalistic product, you know, local business, local people, and things of that nature. And then
what's
it's been adjudicated for over almost, you know, we're heading into 40 years, you know. And so I had just
amazing
taken over, and of course, in 2010, I turned it digital. I saw the handwriting on the wall, and I was the first black paper in the state of California to be adjudicated and digitized at the same time. So it was I made sure that I created a hybrid. And it was probably because of my technical skills, you know, graphic skills and technical skills and all that stuff I learned while I was in New York, that I can make that turn and that very, very quickly. So,
well, I love the stories that you guys cover. Yeah, yeah. We've got to tell folks,
thank
how can
you,
they get their
way.
Hands or see? Oh, absolutely. I love when you guys put things out on the internet and, you know, and I see and you do such good work. I love the pictures and the graphics and everything. You're not telling the same stories that everybody else is telling. And that's...
No,
I refuse to. Exactly.
Yeah. I think that our people need orientation and information. You know, because, you know, at the end of the day, we have a saying, if you're not informed, news doesn't matter. You know, if you don't know anything.
Whoa.
You don't know anything.
I have to write that one down. If you're not informed, the news doesn't matter. Wow. That says it all. Wow. Okay. You know, let me bring everybody on up to speed with us. If you're kind of just joining us, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to the All New Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. My very special guest today. She really returns back to us. It's been quite a while. She comes back to the Hair Radio Morning Show. You guys know her. She was out here with us on the East Coast. But she's returned to California, the San Diego area, as we were just talking about, the SDMN, San Diego Monitor newspaper, which we just love, this San Diego Monitor News, I should say. So, Cheryl, how can folks, can they get this online? Do you have a place that you can send everybody to find out more, to register?
It's a mobile site, so you can get it on your mobile device. And you can go to the website, sdmonitornews.com. Our story content is very off the beat. I am very picky what our readers are exposed to. They're always going to get a very avant-garde, a very different way of looking at things. And I'll be honest, I believe that's one of our impediments. We are so 1960s directed. We are so infused in the 1960s that to get, you know, especially African Americans the 60s and 70s, it's very hard to get us back into the present moment of who we are. And
exactly.
I tell them all the time.
Exactly.
Yeah. If you think about it, African Americans, all 46 million, the average age of an African American in this country is 26 years old.
Isn't that?
And then
dealing with
the African diaspora, they're 19. So if you think about 26 and 19, then you know that's a lot of time. That, you know, we've got to look at things differently. We got to look
we
at
absolutely
things very,
do.
Very millennial. I think that could be one of our strengths. Thinking
absolutely
about things in such a different way to get something. I have also another saying, you know, we want something we've never had. We've got to do something we've never done. We've got to think ways
exactly
that we've never thought. And
exactly. Well, let me turn to probably I'm going to call it the elephant in the room, and that is the pandemic. Yes, and I know that's a topic and a half. That's a, you know, we'll probably have to add on 2 or 3 hours to cover this one. But what is your take when you look back? Because right now, as we go to the air with this particular broadcast today, we are more than what they're saying in terms of emerging and all of that. And what can you say looking back? What was the experience like in California and the hair biz part where you were? And California, to me, California is a very different, had a very different approach with all of that. But what's your take? You are living there.
Yeah.
Because of the weather,
I think we made an adjustment very quickly because we could go outside very quickly. We were always outside, you know. And so I think that they adjusted well. I think African Americans did not adjust well.
The Hair Radio Morning Show is proud to honor the incredible achievements of Ms. Cicely Tyson. And from today forward, all of our in-studio live guests will wait here to go on the air in our newly minted Cicely Tyson Hair Radio Morning Show Green Room. Stay tuned.
Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Carrie Hines.
It's two thumbs up. The Hair Radio Morning Show goes to the movies. It's our brand new Movie Talk radio segment. Listen live. Tune in right here on our broadcast for our unique review of the latest movie. Join us live on the air to chat. It's Movie Talk on the Hair Radio Morning Show. The Let Your Spirit Soar segment on the Hair Radio Morning Show is about getting your day and ours started with positive thoughts, well wishes, great quotes, and amazing affirmations. So if you have one you'd like to share, please send it through our Salon TV Network app, and we'll get it featured on the air. I'm Carrie Hines. You're invited to be part of our new limited radio broadcast series, Talking About Cosby. It's our chance to collectively delve into the life and career and legacy of Bill Cosby, right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Now, we've got great on-air commentators who will be lending their voices to this complex man's story, and we want to hear from you. Our mid-show hour from 7 to 8 a.m. Eastern, 6 to 7 Central, it's your chance to call in and speak live on the air. Go to our Facebook page, The Hair Radio Morning Show, for complete details. You're listening to the Hair Radio Broadcast Network. I'm Carrie Hines, and my co-host today is the very great Darlene Alexander. Now, she is the vice president of Heavenly Essence, Inc. Now, they're the creators of Purity Hair Care Products. Darlene, welcome to Hair Radio.
Thank you so much, Carrie. It's a pleasure to be here today.
And today, we also are discussing the topic of hair loss. And we have with us someone who has been courageously fighting hair loss, and her name is Mary T. And Mary, we want to welcome you to the Hair Radio Broadcast Network today.
Thank you. Glad to be a part. Thank you very much.
Now let's just jump in, Mary. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Where are you from?
I've been living in California for the past 40 plus years. I'm originally from Arkansas. I started dealing with hair loss, though, in California probably about 10, 12 years ago.
Well, tell us about that. So when you say you were dealing with hair loss, tell us what you mean.
Well, at first I got something like, it was almost like a pimple in the top of my head. As I was combing my hair, I really didn't think anything about it. And it was really sore. And then it was there and then it would go away. And then it didn't bother me for a while. My hair, I didn't notice any changes in my hair or anything of that sort. And then it seemed to occur every 2 or 3 months and then more often. So finally, I start seeing hair loss. I went to the doctors. The doctor, you know, did a diagnosis of me. He had me come back several times. And then he also had me come back several months with a pool of doctors from the Sacramento, Los Angeles area. And I believe he had a couple of doctors from some parts of Texas, too. I felt like I was on display because they was all kind of looking at my scalp, took hair samples, to look under the microscope. They also looked at my scalp under the microscope. And it took them, you know, a few weeks to come back to me with the diagnosis said that I had alopecia areata. And they gave me a little bit of information about that, indicated that it could be from straightening comb, when I was using straightening comb, which I really didn't use very much, but they said it could be from straightening combs and from perms, a combination. My type hair loss is the, I kind of have a male baldness. It started off real thin, and now in the very top, I really kind of have no hair, and it's gotten very thin around the edges. So I kind of got a little depressed, discouraged. So at one point, I just shaved it all off to kind of see what would happen. The edges came back, you know, but the top where it had came, where I lost the hair, did not come back. I was also instructed by a hairdresser at the time that was taking care of my hair to use Nioxin shampoo and conditioner, and that was supposed to be really good. But I think it was good from what I understand if the hair loss wasn't as severe as mine. And, of course, I mean, it felt good to the scalp, but it really did not bring any of my hair back, do anything. That point, I start using wraps and different things for the hair because I was very uncomfortable. I was very uncomfortable with wigs and wraps, but it got to the point that I lost so much hair. I went to a place that specialized in cancer and alopecia patients to look at wigs, and then they introduced me to some wigs that was soft to the touch of the skin versus, you know, really some of the wigs are really sticky, kind of stick to your skin and real itchy. So I ran those, and I got a little bit more comfortable. And I'm comfortable with them, but it would be nice if I had hair, but I don't think that that's going to happen at this point because it's been so long and I keep losing hair. Once in a while now, the pimples will come back, not that often, maybe once every 2-3 months or so I may get that, and it's very sensitive for me to touch my head or comb it. I still shampoo my hair, condition it every other day because I work out and I sweat a lot. So I still want to make sure that
Mary, we
want to
let everybody know that you're still being treated, correct?
Right.
This is ongoing treatment for you.
Yes, it is, but nothing is happening really.
I understand. Well, listen, we want to, and first of all, thank you again, Mary, for being with us and telling your story today on the Hair Radio Show. And we want to remind the folks out there who are listening right now to what you're talking about, and just remind everyone to certainly see your own physician so that if you are thinking that you have hair loss on any level, certainly you want to seek out and speak with your own physician so you can be properly treated. Now,
yes.
As we speak in general terms about this, this has been just something that has devastated. The doctor was on earlier with us and explained to us a little bit about what you're suffering with and some of the causes of hair loss. And I hear what you're saying. It sounds like a little bit of despair that, you know, you've been dealing with this for a long time and you haven't necessarily seen a whole lot of success in trying to treat it, so to speak. But from what I understand, that they are constantly researching. And Darlene, what would you say to that? If that's what the doctor said, they're constantly doing research and you just kind of never know where it's going to lead. And I'm believing
yes.
that, you know, this
yes,
will be something that will be treated.
Yeah.
With more
like
success.
Dr. Amerson had shared with us that they are, you know, conducting research on, Mary, I'm sure you've seen the commercials with the eyelash where the eyelashes, where they use a certain type of medication in order to grow the eyelashes. She said that they're doing research on that, of using that product in order to regenerate the hair growth. So it's not to say that this is something that may be happening down the road, but it may be an option.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah,
or it could lead to something
sensitive.
Else.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, because if it grows the eyelids are very sensitive. So.
Right. Exactly. So, they're
well, Mary. You're...
Go ahead, Carrie.
Oh, darling. Thank you. I'm sorry. I was just going to ask Mary. Mary, has this affected, or how has it affected your home life, like, say, in the way that you may be relating to your family? Does it affect that at all?
You know, in the beginning it did, but actually my daughters know about my hair loss, but my sons don't know about my hair loss. I have not shared that with them. So when they come over, they're all adults. When they come over, they see me with either a wrap or a wig on, they ask no questions. They have no clue about my hair loss. My daughters and my husband do. But
Wow. Okay.
I don't know. My sons are kind of sensitive, so I'm not sure how they would react. So I have not even shared that with them.
Well, it's interesting that you say that because over the years, we've been doing a hair radio show since 1995. And I remember I had a caller once who said that she had been wearing a weave style, and her husband had been married for 8 years. I just never forgot this, that they had been married for 8 years, and her husband didn't know that she had a weave. And I,
wow.
You know, at the time I thought it was incredulous. But my goodness, I'm starting to think, you know, wow. It's just reminds me of that.
Yeah, my husband knew right away. Him and I talked about it, and I shared that with him right away. And actually, he tried to make me feel very comfortable. He said, well, as you lose it, he said, if you lose your hair, I'll shave my head. So, you know, whatever.
Oh, I love it. Oh,
so he made me very comfortable after a while with that. I just have not shared it with my sons.
And it may be something that may not, you know, I don't know what the answer is to that, if it's even necessary to do so. I mean, you know what's best, of course, for your situation, and you know. But it's just a big battle, and it sounds like you're doing a great job in dealing with this. You've been dealing with this for a long time, so our heads are
right. The reason I have not shared it with them is because I think they would probably relate it to cancer. They would probably get really upset.
Mm.
And even though, you know, it's not cancer, I've seen their reaction to certain things. I remember when their dad got hurt in a car, they was very sensitive to that with his hip, and they thought he was going to have to wear this platform shoe forever, and they had this look on their face and saying, is he going to have to wear this shoe, even though he was well and looked well? So I thought, I don't want to share this with them and have them thinking, okay, Mom, she's not sharing everything with me. She's just not saying, and that she, you know, may have something that's not curable, which, I mean, you know, it's not curable, but I don't know if it's yes or not, but, you know, it's not like cancer that would eat you at this point, as far as I know. So that's why
right,
I have not
right.
shared it with my boys. My girls are more open and sensitive that they understand. And not that the boys don't understand, they're very educated, but I just am not comfortable at sharing it with them at this point.
I understand. Well, listen, we want to, first of all, take a moment to thank you for being with us today on the Hair Radio Show and sharing your story, you know, with us today. And
thank
we
you
want
for
to
having
certainly
me.
Well, it's our pleasure, and we certainly want to encourage all of the guys, all of you out there who are listening to the Hair Radio Show right now to, of course, you know, check with your doctor if you feel that you're experiencing any type of hair loss. And on the subject, of course, you want to
check more into it, and keep it right here at Hair Radio, because we're going to be exploring a lot more of this as we go forward very, very soon. So, Darlene, I want to thank you for being with us and helping us to co-host.
Oh, you're welcome. You know, and I just wanted to add, Mary's case is just exceptional for the physician to run so many series of tests and in order to diagnose her condition. I mean, that's kind of unheard of for so many physicians to be present to actually diagnose this. I mean, because when I was experiencing hair thinning, I mean, I was in the doctor's office 15 minutes and I was out. So that is truly a blessing.
Yes, I felt very lucky about that. And that week that they came back, they happened to have all these pool of doctors, and they was having some kind of conference, and they asked me if I felt comfortable because that is something that they was in the process of researching. And I said yes. So I took off work. At the time, I was working. I'm now retired. And I took off work, and I spent 2 hours there with them.
Wow.
Looking at my hair, scalp, and all of that.
Wow.
Well, listen, I want to take a moment to thank you both for being part of this today. And this just begins to kind of lift the first layer, if you will, on hair loss. And again, we want you out there to stay with us at Hair Radio. We'll be back. We'll be back. Stay with us. Thank you.
Coming soon, don't miss the brand new Hair Radio streaming network show, I Love the 90s. Take a listen back to interviews of the biggest names in music, including CeCe Peniston, Tony Terry, and of course, Destiny's Child. Tune in and enjoy the memorable moments with the Hair Radio and their lineup of amazing artists telling their stories, giving insights, and of course, talking hair and beauty right here on Hair Radio.
As women, it seems like we carry the weight of the world on our shoulders. And that weight is directly balanced between your 2 feet. And with this balancing act, who do you think is suffering? It's not the kids. It's your feet. While running errands, paying bills, or dodging traffic, you could be ruining your feet. Wearing the wrong shoes for the wrong period of time can cause more damage than you think. Hammer toe and bunions are the leading deformities in black women, and Dr. Yolanda Raglan is the first black and only female podiatrist with practices dedicated solely to the correction of these type of deformities. So let this black girl do some magic and fix your feet. For more information, visit fixyourfeet.com, providing medically necessary surgery with a cosmetic result.
You're listening to the Hair Radio Broadcast Network. I'm Kerry Hines, and we have a very, very special co-host today with us on the Hair Radio show, the very great Darlene Alexander. Darlene, welcome to Hair Radio.
Thank you, Kerry. It is a pleasure to be here today.
Well, thank you. And with us on the line, we have another special guest. Her name is Dr. Darlene Cooper. And today's topic is on the subject of hair loss. And Dr. Cooper, we want to first of all welcome you to Hair Radio.
Thank you so much for having me on the show today.
Well, it's our pleasure to have you. Now, the subject is on hair loss. Now, tell us a little bit about what your issue has been with hair loss. And tell our listeners about that.
Well, it's been a long lifelong problem with me off and on due to the fact that I've been on so many medications over the years since a child dealing with immune deficiency and later finding out that I had lupus at the age of 40. The medications I was on most of my life included steroids, anything that caused the tissue to or the immune system to greater itself. And just recently had 2 surgeries and more medication. I actually, at one point, in my life, I had been put on so much medicine that I need to get my hair done. So I went to the salon, and the lady had put the perm on, and I felt it was burning the heck out of me, but she said just a little longer, so she took it off after a half hour, looked like. Looked like I had hair. She blow-dried my hair, and the next thing I know, she had put it up in a sculpture, like, you know, fix it up on top of my head, and I went home happy. When I got to the point where I wanted to take it down, I took the pins out, and the hair fell out in clumps. I had no hair in the back, and this is the type of thing I've suffered with over the years. Just recently, like I said, I had two surgeries this year, and the medication is taking me off the Richter scale as far as the texture of my hair and how it lays, and I have pretty long hair when it is on my head. I met Darlene, and she introduced me to a product from Purity, and her conditioner and her shampoo set I purchased from her. And I figured, what could I lose? I was about to cut my hair completely off because it was actually breaking off right by the scalp. And she seemed to be very attentive to what's going on with my hair, and she said she suggested that I get her product. So I did, and without reservation, I used it. And I noticed a difference in the texture of my hair. First of all, when I put the shampoo on, it was like it was tingling in my scalp. And not only that, it had a great scent. I love the scent of mint. Following that, I used a conditioner. I left it on my head, you know, just to let it saturate into my follicles. And when I got ready to blow dry my hair, there was hardly any hair coming out. Usually when I wash my hair, there's a pile of hair when I'm finished doing all the procedures. And I'm used to the hair loss. So I started using wigs and trying to basically cover my head. It's because I had so many pieces missing or areas that were very open with, you know, showing my hair where it was, like, shorter in some areas. So I used the product, and, you know, I said, my hair feels different, you know, after I blow-dried it. And she said, yeah, it does. So I've done it for the last 3 months at least. And my hair has changed. It's gotten real long. It's past my shoulders. It's 3 inches past my shoulders. And I'm just amazed. And I have gray hair, which I do use rinse on, and which is hard on it as it is. But my hair has really grown back. I'm just amazed by it. Darlene couldn't have introduced me to a better product than her Purity product. I feel that it's something that I should have had a long time ago. A lot of times you go to a salon, most people don't know what to put in your hair. They don't know how to treat medicated hair. Because we deal with the issues of loss of hair daily. We're on a lot of medication. Not only do I have lupus, I have, you know, just like I said, I've had other ailments over my life, and the medicine could be between 10 to 15 pills a day. I'm just thanking God that it's down to 8 now. And that's a lot of pills to be taking, but our product really has helped me. I would suggest it to anybody. Hair loss is not something that women really want to experience with. They don't want to go through that. Sure, I could have went to short hair and dyed it blonde. It would have looked good, but that's not what I really want. I want to have my own hair. My mom had long hair. My twin sister has long hair, even though she enjoys wearing her wigs. Very stylish young lady, but I really enjoy the fact that I can sling my own hair.
Understand.
And that's about it. That's about it. I really enjoy the fact that I can put it in a ponytail.
I hear you. Well, Dr. Cooper, first of all, I want to thank you again. If you've just joined us, you're listening to the Hair Radio Show. I'm Carrie Hines. And today we're on the topic of hair loss, and co-hosting with me is Darlene Alexander. Now, she is the Vice President of Heavenly Essence, Inc., the creators of Purity Hair Care Products. And Darlene's website is heavenlyessence.net. So, of course, you can reach her there. Now, we have on the line with us today Dr. Darlene Cooper, who is herself battling with the effects of hair loss. due to, you know, apparently taking medication over the years, and this has been something that has affected you. Dr. Cooper, tell us a little bit on how it has affected the people around you, if at all.
Most people who know me, I'm much more much in the limelight. I am a musician at the church, and my dad's church. I was raised in his church, and a musician, minister of music, and people notice you because you're up front. They notice I had different hairstyles every Sunday, it seemed like, because of the fact that I was losing my hair. I didn't really let anybody know. I was cutting it, trimming it, trying to make it even out, you know, and it has affected my, it was affecting my my esteem a little bit, losing hair like that.
How so?
Because like I say, I'm on the stage. I'm a gospel singer, and I really didn't like the fact that I had to start putting on a wig. But wigs are stylish. I commend anyone that can really wear them every day. But when you know that where you've been and you've had to walk in and you're trying to look as best you can and not have a fake facade, you know, it does affect you mentally, the hair loss. When you wake up and see your pillow full of hair, when you just want to merely just wash your hair and let it dry, and then you comb it out, and there's a pile of hair looking at you like, whose is that, you know, but it came out of your comb. Right. It does affect you. There's always another way to skin a cat. I can always keep trimming my hair and make it look even or whatever, but it came a time where I couldn't even put it in a ponytail, and that really got to me, and the medications kept coming. I had other changes in my body. They were not regular. I had to adjust to, but the hair loss was the key thing that really subject me to really have a little bit of low esteem. Women like to look beautiful. I know we're beautiful from the inside out, but what's on the inside should reflect on the outside. And when you don't have that control, it really puts you in a bad situation.
Well, thank you for taking a moment to share that with us, Dr. Cooper. Now, are you currently being treated for hair loss? I understand that because of the medications and the different ailments, so they may not be treating you specifically for the hair loss, or is that the case?
No, they're not. They're not treating me for the hair loss. But I'm really thankful that I was able to meet Darlene. I changed churches, and I met her, and she always looks so beautiful, her hair, everything, just shiny, just like mine used to be. And but I sponsored her at my home to have a wig party for her. So she does sell wigs too. She caters to alopecia patients as well to build their esteem, and those who want to just accent what they already have. So I wanted to accent what I had, but when she came, she brought some products with her, and I started getting more interested in the products than the wigs. And,
well, listen, I want to just take a moment right now to thank Darlene as well for being with us today. Darlene, you've done such a great job. Was there anything you wanted to add to that?
Actually, you know, with Dr. Cooper, it's been a pleasure, you know, working with her, and I do believe the reason why the products work so well because they help to clarify. They're clarifying, so they actually help to help script the medications from the hair and scalp, and that's why I believe she's seen such great results.
Well, I want to thank you so very much. And I want to take a moment to thank you both for being with us today, right here on the Hair Radio Show. And we want you to keep it for you guys out there listening. We want to ask our fans of the show to keep it right here at Hair Radio so that we can keep you informed of any breakthroughs in the way of hair loss. And we know that this is just a couple of stories, and there's so many different stories to tell across the spectrum of hair loss. And we will be bringing to you some of those experts and some of those stories that can help you yourself with what you're dealing with out there in the way of hair loss. But as with everything we said, make sure to go and see your physician for any kind of treatment of hair loss on any level. And for you guys, thank you again, Dr. Cooper and Darlene, for being with us and doing such a great job today. Thank you for being with Hair Radio.
Well, thank you.
It's time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Carrie Hines.
All right, we're back live. Yes, it's Tuesday morning, February 15th of 2022. Carrie Hines, wanted to kind of welcome you guys again. This is our mid-show, and today we have a really, really very special treat. This gentleman, you kind of have been introduced to him through some recorded pieces that we've recently aired, but today we have him live for the very first time. And we're real excited to welcome him. He's helping Hair Radio with all kinds of education, and he'll be doing some trainings and some wonderful, wonderful weaving in and out of literally of what we've got going on here at Hair Radio. I want to just bring him right to the line because we don't have a whole bunch of time today. We're kind of sandwiched between what we're doing live right now and going into a brand new live Vet Talk special time at 8 o'clock this morning, New York time. So let me bring to the line, he's out of the Chicago area, the one and only Mr. Eugene Davis. Eugene, hey. Welcome to the Hair Radio Morning Show live.
Hi, well, I'm glad to be here. This is a thought great for me.
Yes, it's really awesome. It really is to welcome you. First, we've aired, as I mentioned, you know, in the setup, we aired your interview a couple times here on the broadcast, and it's been received really well. So so thank you so much for waking up early, especially in Chicago. I think you guys are an hour, aren't you, like an hour ahead of us out there? You're in Central Time Zone. Or behind us, right, behind us. Yes, thank you. We're here in New York. Now, I have a subject I want to bring up that we have not talked about on the Hair Radio Morning Show ever. Well, this is due to recent times. We've covered everything else. But But it's really like the after effects of this pandemic, if you will, you know, and what hairstylists, what the public is going through. And I think people can appreciate it because even when I go to buy food and hair products or whatever I'm buying, it seems like I am paying, you know, for like somebody's mortgage out here. You know, everything seems to have doubled in price. And then there are things that are just not available when I go. So, you know, I've heard about all the production bottleneck on TV news and all of that. So I just wanted to get your feedback, and then, you know, we'll talk a little bit more about what you're bringing to the network and all of that. But what do you say first to the idea? Have you noticed any difference in pricing as far as hair products and the hair industry?
Yes, Carrie, I noticed that a lot of the products have gone up in cost and especially like things that are niche, like textured hair products and stuff, and or i.e. blonde correctors. These things have gone up. But I think, too, part of the issue is what you were saying about production and the bottlenecking. It has slowed down the amount of, because of COVID, too, the amount of people we could have in the factories and the manufacturers and the distributors. So that's why you will find places where there are products that are missing, or they just haven't restocked, or they tell you that, you know, it's coming, but they don't know when. So that has affected it a lot. And because of that, the chain reaction to that has now caused retailers to increase the prices on the product. Now, I don't necessarily think it's the product people themselves. It could be because of, again, with production, some of the more quality ingredients that they put into it, they can't readily get. So they are still making stuff, but they have to wait in the process too. So COVID has really affected a lot of different areas. But when it comes down to the consumer, we're the ones who are feeling it the most. Because like before, you could buy a decent shampoo for let's say $4.99. Now, if you want a really good shampoo, now you're going to pay about $24. That's a big jump.
That is. And that is really, it's literally disturbing. And I feel, you know, and it affects all of us. And I just wonder how in the world, because sadly, you know who ends up paying the price? We do.
Yes.
We do
absolutely.
At the end of the day, right? We have to pay. We have to make up. They've got to make up some kind of, you know, cost. The thing is, we don't often like to hear it. I had one of our colleagues in the industry was saying that he has to get big trailers in from overseas. That's all I'll say on that one. And he gets the trailers in, but they're all hung up, and it takes like additional twice as long a amount of time. But when he goes back to inform the stylists and the people, the companies and people who are waiting for these products to arrive to him to ship to them. They don't even want to hear it.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel awful because I understand. So what on earth can be done? What can we do? Is there anything that can be done?
Well, at this point, I don't really have an answer to that part of it. I think what I would suggest to the consumer to do, especially if they want to save money in the long term, you go and buy products that are higher quality. Like, for instance, I'm going to name one, Pattern Beauty, right? Their product price point is a little bit higher for anyone with textured hair, but a little bit goes a long way, and you see the results.
Exactly.
Because they've spent a lot of money in their technology in order to make sure the products actually do what they say they're going to do. So for me,
absolutely,
I'd rather go there and spend the $24.99 then goes Walmart at the $4.99 because I'm buying, because we buy according to price, and then we go through that shampoo and that change doesn't look any better. But I guarantee if you go purchase that, especially in this kind of thing, the one that's more expensive, you'll use less and last longer.
Yes, and that's the key, I think, and I appreciate that because I subscribe to that as well. I believe to make your products, as we do here, the same type of thing at Carapy, make your hair products with the very best that you can, the best ingredients. But the problem here, as you so eloquently stated, is that a lot of this now is beyond our control. It's beyond the manufacturer's control. It's, you know, it's just a chain and ripple effect. And I believe it's going to be with us for a little while longer. I think it's going to take some time. You know, I just have that feeling. What do you think?
Yeah, I totally agree. And not only is it, I was listening to your conversation earlier today too. This COVID and pandemic now has only affected the price of product and how people are using product because it's so expensive, but it's also triggered some emotional shocks of living through the pandemic has caused hair loss, and those products are too. So
that's
Theologian, I can't say the second word properly, but it's a stage in the hair growth process that gets stumped because of the shock and the emotional stress and just all the different things. And then people were doing their own hair for so long, you know, doing the music, they were afraid to go out and stuff. So it has affected sales also. So in a nutshell, we have a lot of things going on. We don't have the proper ingredients coming in for the manufacturers or the companies to make properly. So they're making less, and then they're having production issues and distribution issues. And then by the time he gets onto the shelf,
there is such thing about making your own products. for hair folks at home. I mean, I wouldn't suggest that so much, but you might have to think about something like that.
Well, we went through that phase a couple of years ago when everybody was going natural and making their own natural products at home.
In the bathtub type thing, yeah.
Huh?
No, I was saying in the bathtub type thing.
Yeah, we had that time, and then we found that it was better to go with a professional, RNA and places like that that actually do it and make the formulas for you, use what you want, and then they're more sustainable. And I think that one time people just put stuff in their hair, and I was like, okay, you got banana and avocado, and those, both of those turn brown. Why do you have in your hair? Like, I don't understand.
I love it. Go ahead, please. I'm sorry. Please finish your thought. I didn't mean to cut you off there.
No, I'm finished. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, listen, I was just going to say, to kind of catch everybody up here, if you have just joined us, you're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. Today is our show number 672. Wow. As we march towards our 700th celebration. Yeah, and those are 3 hours each, Eugene. Three hours apiece. Yeah, so we're talking about the most prolific of any hair radio broadcaster in the world right here. So we were the first in 1995 to launch and then turn it into a morning show in 2015. So we've been playing some of our classic pieces. This morning we had a lot of kind of a hodgepodge, I think that's the word, of different folks on, and some of our classic. I opened up the vault and just dug out some Cheryl Morrow from out in San Diego, and we had on Ahava Felicidad out of Jersey, and so many different folks who've been, and some other folks from out in the West Coast as well, and the great Eugene Davis that we're talking to right now. A long career in the hair and beauty industry. You're going to be doing some live stuff each week, each Tuesday morning about 7:30. And sometimes we'll stop at 8, and sometimes we'll go well past that. So we're looking at putting together some amazing, amazing talk. And Eugene, you have a long career in this business, and you do a whole bunch of education. You do a whole bunch of product watch. You are the person to talk to. When you talk about hair products, you know what you're talking about. So let me ask you, why is that so important to educate folks about? What do you say to that? Why is it so important?
Well, my passion came as when I used to find that, like, people would go shopping, especially if it would be, like, a friend of mine or whatever, they suggest that their stylist suggested, they go get this, this, and that. So they were always like, oh, my God, I'll be talking about my product. And they're like, oh, God, I tried that, but it was awful. And I'm like, what? Like, no, it's really good stuff. And so what I started to do, I started to ask questions. And when I started asking more questions, like, how often do you shampoo your hair? Do you mask your hair at all? Do you do a deep conditioner? Or did the manufacturer say, just shampoo with this and skip to putting oil in your hair? Like, did you find out how this product is supposed to be used? And I found that people don't like to read, number one. And they like to make,
that's very true.
They like to make their own regimen. So I started to do – it's simple for people when they have – you always shampoo and you always condition your hair. But if your hair needs a repair, then you put a mask in between it. So you mask, you shampoo, you mask, you condition. So what you do is you open the cuticle up, you deposit the good stuff, and then you seal it back down. Simple, very simple, and the hair has more shine. And the hair can now go on until they do their deep conditioner, which I always recommend. Some people once a week, some people every 2 weeks. But a deep conditioner will get down to the nitty gritty, and really really hydrate and moisturize that hair. So just those simple things right here. I tell people if you can follow those with whatever product you use, you're gonna be a win-win situation. But
well, it sounds
It's just breaking it down so people can understand why the product is doing this and what it does to the hair. And I think that's been the disconnect for so long. People just think I shampoo or conditioner. Well, what is the shampoo doing to your hair? What is the conditioner doing to the hair? And why do you have to put a leave-in conditioner? What does that do? And when you break that down to layman's terms, then people go, I get it.
Mm-hmm. And this is what we love. We want to hear this incredible, wonderful, wonderful information. And, Eugene, we're going to put together some panels. I'm looking forward to introducing you to some of the folks. They have questions. They need this wonderful knowledge that you have and that we're going to impart right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. I am super, super excited. Yes. We want to remind you guys out there, right? Yes, I'm loving it. You want to definitely sign up at hairradio.com, HAIradio.com. Remember, it has just one R. Go to hairradio.com. Sign up there to become a member because we are putting special information in that area, and it's only for members. You won't even see it when you log in if you're not a member. So you need to be a member.
Okay.
Go to the website, sign up. It's free. It doesn't cost you a dime to sign up to be a member. And you will be entitled to exclusive information that's put there just for you. Some of it will be from our guests, like today, Eugene Davis, mid-show live guest, educator extraordinaire. I'm calling our new director here for education in the hair and beauty industry. We're excited to have him, welcome him on board, and you'll be hearing not just on this show, but he'll be across our platforms, and we have many, as you guys know. So this is going to be really awesome. Now, Eugene, what are some of the things you would like to bring to this special time that you have here at Hair Radio, educating so many folks? What do you want to bring to the show?
I think some of the things I'd like to talk about, again, is proper use of products, what to look for when you're going out to shop to your hairstylist or investigating what's going on with your hair, and reaching out to people like me, who I my Facebook, I'm glad to answer questions. People ask me stuff all the time, and they'd be like, oh, my God, you're pointing me in the right direction. And that's all it needs. So I want to go over those kind of things. And I do want to go over, like, hair loss and some of the ways to improve the quality of your hair, even during losing hair or the fall of hair. There's still ways you can slow down that process because, there's so many different things. And I also like to talk about, just taking care of your scalp, how important that is. And a lot of people miss that. They think, oh, I have to care of my scalp. No, it's not the same. You have to treat your scalp in order to produce really quality hair. So that has a lot to do with hair loss because everyone back in the day, we didn't really think about our scalps before. So it's so important that we treat our scalp and keep our scalp healthy, and then we'll have healthy hair. So those are a few things I would like to talk about.
Well, I think that sounds just awesome, and you're going to have a lot of folks building up real quickly here to get in line for that Tuesday morning broadcast. So I'm so excited. I really am, and we're looking forward to having you back each week right here. Now, I also wanted to take a moment, because we need to talk a little bit about this. It's coming up. It's a brand new show within a show called I Love the 90s, and my favorite decade. And from what I could see on the Super Bowl the other day, it seems like it's a whole lot of folks' favorite decade. So we're going to talk about some of the amazing music. We're going to talk about some of the amazing culture that we've experienced and lived through for quite a bit of us. We're going to look back, and I say listen back, to some incredible interviews that we've had right here on this show with folks from that period. So I am hoping you will lend some of your time to check in with us from time to time on this show within a show coming up very soon. Should hit the airwaves the early part of March, so in a couple weeks.
Okay.
And it'll be across our platform, and we got to check in with you. You were a man of the 90s. We can't wait to hear some of the things, because we also want to talk about the style. That period had its own style thing going on that folks are trying to bring back. There's a big element of the 90s that I think you could see it. It's like it's more than nostalgia. It seems like, you know, there's been such a big, you know, going in the opposite direction and, you know, having folks who are not so much a part of the community kind of hijack the music and the culture. And so there are folks who are saying, bring, you know, what do you say, Eugene? I've just gone on. What do you say about the 90s?
The 90s, I absolutely love the 90s. I think there was, especially in, for me as a hairstylist, and I was working in, you know, music video, so that combination was when we started to set the trends, we were fearless and doing new things that weren't being seen before, because, like I said, we were just in music in the 90s. Our videos and stuff were becoming more popular, and they were setting the culture up for where we are today. So I think that time period was a time of experimenting and a time of setting trends, you know, that have affected everything from that point on. You know,
yes,
it was all about
absolutely.
Trying new things. Music was trying new things. The hair was trying new things. Makeup was trying new things. The styling was trying new things. It was just a time when we were allowed to do whatever you wanted to creatively.
Yes, and, you know, we have to understand that time marches on and things change over the period of time. But I just think that from time to time, it's kind of nice to hearken back to just some great memories that we had during that period. So we're going to have an awesome time. We're going to, you know what I mean? We're going to check in with different folks, Eugene. So you will be at the top of that list. Eugene Davis. Legendary hairstylist, educator, you are doing it out there. Now, I know you have a website, and I want to say EugeneDavis.hair. Did I hit it right? Wow, see, that's off the top of my head. EugeneDavis.hair. So that's not .com, .hair. And you can connect with Eugene directly, certainly through the Hair Radio show as well and across our platforms. Eugene, I just look forward to having you on next week. Now, next week, we're putting together a full episode for Eugene right here and for you guys out there. So it's going to be nice, and you're going to bring it because you can right here on our broadcast. Okay, so I just want to say thank you so much for being with us today. It was a great, I call it a truncated premiere for you live, but we're going to expand it out 1 week from today. So thank you so much, Eugene. And I'll be checking on you very soon right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Thanks for being with us, okay? Much appreciated.
All right. Have a good
day. All right. You too. Stay warm out there in Chicago. We'll take a little bit of a music break. Here in New York, it has been super. When I tell you a little bit on the chilly side this morning, it is definitely a little bit on the morning, the chilly side out here this morning. So stay with us, folks. We'll be right back. Let's see if we can find something really good for you guys. Stay with us. We'll be back.
up now, live. It's Vet Talk Radio Show with host Michael Hopkins, executive producer Terry Hines, and Michael's Angels panel, Nicole, Noor, and Katrina. The Vet Talk Radio Show with Michael Hopkins is all about helping veterans in need. Stay tuned.
All right, we are on live this morning. It's Tuesday, February 15th of 2022. I'm Carrie Hines. I am bringing to the line, so it's Tuesday morning, and this is a very special Tuesday morning at 8, or 8:05, we'll say. Let me bring to the line the host of the program, Michael Hopkins out of Spotsylvania, Virginia. Good morning, Michael. Good morning. Happy Tuesday.
Good morning, Karen. A happy Tuesday to you also. Down here in Spotsylvania, just like up in New York, it's a wee bit cold outside.
It's freezing, yes. For you guys who are listening to our earlier broadcast here right before the show today, before Vet Talk, we were talking about it's literally chilling, bone chilling here in New York today. Listen, I have to say, also, Michael, not just happy Tuesday, because each Tuesday is Happy Tuesday with Vet Talk Radio Show, which normally airs at 8:30. Today, on the 15th of 2022, February 15th, I should say, of 2022, this is a very special broadcast because today, it is a celebration of the 25th live broadcast of Vet Talk Radio Show. And so we're super, super excited about that. So this is a big thing. Congratulations, Michael, and to your Angels panel, Noor Jahan, Nicole, and Katrina. So we'll have them all on to talk about this in just a bit. But right now I just wanted to get your feedback, Michael, and then we're going to dive on in. What do you say about this incredible celebration?
It has been an awesome ride. I mean, yeah. Awesome ride. And just the outpouring of our fans, that right there is just, I thank them so much for their support. I thank you also because you're not a veteran, but yet you reached out to veterans. And, you know, us as veterans, we can't ask any more than that with just reaching out to veterans. And, you have the empathy, you have the curiosity just to ask the questions that you do. And I can't ask for any more than that. You know, we're just going to make you an honorary veteran, everybody. Terry Hines is an honorary veteran.
Well, I appreciate that, but I have to say it just brings me great joy to highlight the true effort, and these folks have done it and continue to do it and represent our country so proudly. So it is my honor. If this is the little I can do to make a contribution to, and help improve the lives of veterans, I'm honored to do it, and we're just getting started. So veterans, watch out. We're just getting started. We haven't even warmed up yet. So, so as we normally do, I offer my salute, and I thank the veterans who are listening to this great broadcast. A big salute from the Hair Radio Morning Show. We appreciate you, and your efforts are not lost on us whatsoever. So, Michael Hopkins, I'm going to kind of turn over to this because I love this, what you did this week. You did an incredible, incredible piece that we're going to run right now. It's with, I'll let you, why don't you set it up, Michael? What are we going to be listening to?
Today, we're going to be listening to retired Captain Curtis Hervey. And he basically was like me, was active duty. Then he went into the Kansas National Guard. He's also a war veteran and a two-time war veteran, matter of fact. And he has one heck of a story to tell. And we're only scratching the surface of his story. And he's also very passionate about helping veterans in this thing we call this claims realm. And him and I, we pretty much chopped it up during this interview. And, you know, it's just, Kerry Hines, it just feels so good when there's another soldier that you can talk to that really comes out of the same era of soldiering that you come from.
Yeah.
And we just have that camaraderie. And we met for the first time not that long ago.
Michael? We're going to let you let us run it, and we're going to let everybody, and we're going to talk about it on the other side as well. But we're going to let you guys tell the story. I think it's an incredible piece. I really do, and I'm very proud of your work. And I think this is just awesome. So here's what the lineup is, folks. We're going to go ahead and get this incredible interview on, which is we're going to run a bit of it until about 8:30 or so, New York time, and 7:30 if you're out in the Central Time Zone. And then the angels, everybody will be here. We have a big celebration to continue and to share and talk about today, along with some other wonderful news. Now, Michael, this entire interview, I want to make sure this is clear to your fans, the entire interview that you have with Captain Hervey is available right now. Okay, so after today's show, you can go right there to our website at hairadio.com. It's already there, the entire interview. So we'll go ahead and get it started here, and then about 8:30, so in about the next 20 minutes or so, and we'll check back in with you guys with a whole bunch of amazing live talk right here. You don't want to miss it. So we just want you to know that we have put the information right there at hairradio.com on the Vet Talk Radio page. So you got to go to that tab and move down a little bit. You'll see it right there. Michael, I just want to mention this right quickly, if I may as well. Below that, you'll see where there is a spot where you can fill in if you have an idea for a show or if you have a comment, any kind of feedback. There's a big old form. You can't miss it right there. So that's what I want to get in. Let's get this started, Michael. And I'm excited for you. This is, just awesome. Awesome job.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Kerry. Appreciate it.
Well, you got it. You got it, brother. Okay, so here, let's go ahead and get this on. This is the Vet Talk Radio Show. Special Michael interview with this amazing gentleman, and again, Captain Hervey. Let's see if we can get that on. Just one quick moment. Here we go. Stay with us, folks.
Curtis Hervey. Captain Hervey, welcome to the Vet Talk Radio Show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. It's quite an honor to have you on here. And, sir, the reason why we brought you on board here today, it's so that you can share your amazing career with the Vet Talk Radio fans. And I would just like to start out with asking you, how did you get started in the military? How did you get started in the Army?
Well, I was in high school, and we saw the movie Rambo with Sylvester Stallone in it. He was a special forces soldier, and that's something I wanted to do. I wanted to be a ranger. So the whole reason for me joining was to be a ranger and to be like Rambo. So the recruiter signed me up for airborne school, but what he didn't do is he didn't sign me up for the MOS that would get me to a ranger unit. He put me in a shortage MOS that he needed me in, a 45-kilo tank turret repairman. So, unfortunately, I wasn't able to go to a ranger unit and never able to attain my dream. But it all worked out.
let me step in a little bit, Kevin, because, most of us know what you're talking about as far as, ranger. a lot of the civilians don't know what rangers do. Can you talk a little bit, just a little bit about what a ranger is, that high-speed, low drag, as we used to call it in the Army, what they do?
Oh, yeah. Well, a ranger is like an infantryman on steroids. They are very good at the commandos, so it's like the A-team. It's just like the A-team. I think they're pretty sure there are rangers on that show. So they're able to you can take a small group of rangers, and you can hold off an entire town. This is how well they're trained. The special type soldiers, the infantrymen on steroids, and they can do all the things the infantryman does, but they have better toys.
Oh, I know that. Yeah, you and I both exactly. know that feeling about the better toys and the things they do and all that good stuff. And, you know, it's you were, like most of us, I can imagine back then, and it was high-speed, low drag for you when you looked at Rambo, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. It sure was.
Yeah, and that's all of that excitement. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, when we're young, we like all that kind of stuff. We like being excited like that and having adventure and so forth. Now, how long did you exactly stay in the military on your active duty? How long did you stay active duty?
Okay, well, I've got a total of over 20 years total combined, but I have about 7.5 years active duty time. Regular Army. I did many different tours of duty. Sent you a copy of all that information. And, you know, I've been around. I know you've been around, too, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we've had our fun and excitement with this, as we call it, that mean green Army machine. And
oh, yeah.
I know you had a tour during the Gulf War also, didn't you?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did.
Okay. And what was it that you did during the Gulf War?
Well, my job was to deploy with the Warriors. I was in part of an armored battalion. I was in combat service support, and my unit was a support battalion. So our job was to fix their stuff, and we had medics who made them well, and we were attached to the armored battalion and other units as well. But my job in particular was a tank turret repairman, so I was a technician. I troubleshot the tanks or turret systems, any kind of turret system. And the turret system is the part that spins around, of course, with the cannon on it. And that was my specialty. But I also worked on ITVs, improved tow vehicles, that shot missiles that you could guide down to the target. It's pretty wild. That's what I really specialized in. So my job was to fix them. If I couldn't fix them right there on the spot, they had to go to the main body. The main body couldn't fix them. They went to the depot. So that was my mission.
Wow, pretty much. Yeah, understood. And a lot of people that are not military people, sometimes, as you know and I know, sometimes they don't understand the depth of the Army and what the Army does. And everybody is not an infantryman, as we're led to believe with a lot of these movies and so forth. A lot of us
exactly.
are not infantry people. We serve and support people. We're combat support people because you have to have that to have an Army.
Precisely.
You have to have all of those people that specialize in different things.
Yes, as you know, we have every job that the civilian world has. We got it in the military.
Yeah, pretty much. And that's the whole thing. You know, a lot of people just don't know that in the military we do the same jobs that civilians do. It's just that we're in the military. And they call us something different sometimes.
Exactly.
And, you know, that's like, wow. That's how it is. Now you pretty much, how did you like your time being active duty in the military, in the Army?
For the most part, I enjoyed it. There was a lot of camaraderie. I didn't see a lot of nonsense with with racism that I noticed in Big Army. Of course, it's a different story when it went to the Guard. We'll get to that, though. But in Big Army, it was really nice, I thought. And, of course, the war wasn't fun. But the rest of the time, I got up, went to work like a regular job. And we'd have the alerts, as you know. I was in Germany when I first went in. Bomb holder Germany,
oh, okay.
Where Elvis was at.
What?
And,
okay. What part of Germany were you in?
At bomb holder.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, because I was in Germany also, too. I was up in northern Germany, up in Bremerhaven, the port.
Oh, wow. Never even heard that one. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's where all
the
cars came to.
Hotels. Yeah.
Oh, man. Grass. Yeah, it was cold in grass.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we all that's why I like talking to somebody's army. It's good to reminisce like that, and you understand what I'm saying before I even finish it. That's really nice to have, you know.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's that mean green army machine like you and I have been talking about. That's where it is.
Oh, yeah.
But it's that same camaraderie that we all have that it just never leaves us. Even if we get off of active duty, we retire, we go into the Guard or reserves, it just never leaves us because that's just a part of our lives that we enjoyed it. We may have had some hardships, but for the most part, like you said, we enjoyed that life. We honest to God did.
That was my only world.
Yeah, it's just enjoyable. Now, after you spent your time in the active military, when did you decide to get out?
Well, I was, as time went on, when it got near to my near the the 7.5 year mark, I was kind of burnt out on the job I was doing. Primarily because it was the same old thing. There's no challenge to it. I was really good with my job, and I could troubleshoot a lot of times without even going out there. I already knew what it was because it was just so repetitive. So that took a lot of joy out of it. I didn't want to stay in that job anymore, and I wanted them to transfer me to a different job, but they wouldn't because I was a bonus MOS, military occupational specialty. So I could not transfer, as you know.
All right,
that's what made me want to get out. Mm-hmm, sorry.
Oh, okay. Oh, I didn't mean to jump in, but just give us an idea when you say a bonus MOS. And just give us an idea, what does that mean when you're in a bonus MOS or a bonus specialty in the Army?
Sure. All that means is that the military has their needs, and the recruiters know what they are, and they tell them, we have shortages in these type of jobs, and you need to make sure you fill those specific jobs. Don't worry about the other ones. Fill these ones. And that's what they do. They and to give an incentive to get those jobs filled, they'll offer bonuses. And that's what happened to me. Of course, the bonus sounded attractive, and I took the bonus. I didn't understand that type of job would not get me to be a Ranger. I didn't understand that. It put me into combat service support, not combat arms.
Right. And you definitely have to be in combat arms in order to be able to do any of that high-speed, low-drag type training because it's high-intensity training. And it's kind of hard if you're working on any kind of equipment, tanks, et cetera, et cetera. It's kind of hard to get out there and do the things that you want to do. Now, once you left active duty, what did you do?
I did a lot of different civilian jobs here around town, worked in various factories, warehouses, just local jobs. You know, they didn't pay a whole lot. And I didn't have the wherewithal to make my military experience worked for me. I didn't understand that I could roll that time over to a civilian civil service job or something like that, or a federal job. You know, I didn't have the mentorship, didn't understand those things. So I just worked these local civilian jobs. and they didn't pay a whole lot. There was no progression, and but I made it work. You know, made a living for my family.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, what about your military career? Did you continue your military career when you got off of active duty?
No, I did not. For about 10 years, I was just a straight-up civilian. I didn't do any kind of military. I was kind of angry with the military because they wouldn't let me transfer my job. And so I just had this bad attitude to where I didn't want nothing more to do with the military. And I was going to try to forget about all that stuff, you know. So that's just being younger, you know. You don't understand what a great honor it was and that you can roll that all the experience over.
Quite true. Quite true. It's unfortunately, when a lot of us go into military when we're younger, we don't understand because, as you said, Captain, it's not explained to us.
No, not at all.
And especially back then, and I'm kind of calling it back then, but in the 70s, 80s, 90s, a lot of the things weren't explained to us as military people that were getting out of the military, that we were separating from the military, and we had all kinds of skills that the civilians would be looking for.
Precisely.
Nope.
If I had the right guidance, well, I'll tell you what, I could hit the ground running.
Sure could have. All of us could have. We all could have hit the ground running, and we could have achieved some things. But it's unfortunate. It's not much we can do about it now. But what we can do is we can educate the younger soldiers coming in.
Exactly.
We can educate them so that they understand what they can and cannot do and which job to take in the military and so forth, because the military has gotten so high tech now.
Exactly, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It really has. It's gotten very high tech. Now,
exactly.
When did
you
decide?
Know,
oh, say it again.
No, so as you know, if you align yourself right with the right type job, you can just roll that right on out here and keep on trucking and get a better pay, two or three times
right.
The pay or more. So, yeah.
Right. You're absolutely right. A lot of soldiers have left off of active duty, and they had the proper guidance, and a lot of them got federal jobs, state jobs, local city jobs, law enforcement, all kinds of things. They have got just having the proper guidance. And I know with me, when I got out, and I worked for the federal government a little bit, and then I went to the private sector, but I was always guard on reserves. I never had like a real break in service, and I always from the late 80s, about 86 up to 2003, I was always guard and reserves. That was just me. I enjoyed it. But as you know, as we get older, you know, it's time to bow out. You stay so long and then it's time to bow out, and then you turn it over to the younger soldiers so that they can pick up the mantle and just carry on.
Exactly.
Now, when did you decide that you were going to join the National Guard? And I think it's the Kansas National Guard. Was that the first unit that you joined?
Yeah, I stayed with the Kansas National Guard, and I decided that I was working, you know, one of these little local jobs, and nothing wrong with them, you know, honest work and everything, but they don't pay a whole lot. And I was working as in a warehouse. They worked on laboratory hoods. My job was to supply them, get the supplies rounded up and hand them out and everything. So I remember sitting there thinking, I don't feel like I'm going anywhere in life. There's no upward mobility. the pay is not so great. I remember how, like I was in the military. You could always advance.
All right, we're back live. It's Tuesday morning, February 15th of 2022. That is the incredible Michael Hopkins, our amazing host on Vet Talk Radio Show, with the retired captain, Hervey. Michael, we're all back live on this cold Tuesday morning. What do you say to that where you hear Captain Hervey's story? What do you say to this that he was even just talking about? It's a great piece, by the way. Great job.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much, Gert. Well, you know, just listening to the captain just brings back so many memories of being in the military, the camaraderie, the brotherhood, sisterhood, uniforms, equipment. You know, it's inside of you. It never goes away. You can be out 20,
absolutely,
30, 40, 50 years. That feeling, you know, because I've been a soldier half of my life. I've been a soldier. Ever since I was 25 years old, I've been a soldier. Very long time. You know, the funny thing about it, I started out, you know, married, and I had one child. By the time I finished with the military, finished doing all training and retiring and all that, I wound up with four kids. Now, how did that happen?
Wow. I'm speechless on that, Brother Michael. Well, listen, I just want to tell everybody, the Captain Hervey interview, this amazing exclusive with Michael Hopkins, you can hear the entire interview from top to bottom, soup to nuts, as they say, over at www.hairadio.com. So that's hair, it's pronounced hair radio, but there's only one R in the middle, so it's hairadio.com. You go there, and there's a big old tab that says Vet Talk Radio Show. Click on the tab. You'll see it right there. It's a big, big piece, and you just hit the little button to play the interview. So it's available right now and throughout the weeks to come. So you have an opportunity to listen when you get a quick moment to the entire piece. You don't want to miss it because the captain, Michael, I'm impressed because the captain really, as we say here in the Northeast, he goes in on the subject and the different things that he's talking about. So, again, awesome job. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Now, yes, Michael, I've got to say, today is something very special. That's why we started today's show at 8. And so you guys will be sharing the playback a little later. And we're resuming our Saturdays at 1, where you can listen right at hairradio.com to the playback of today's show for Vet Talk Radio Show. So Saturdays at 1 over at the 24hourhairradio.com website. So remember, you go over there on Saturday at 1, you'll hear today's broadcast top to bottom, as well as you get to hear all the other stuff as well. So really good stuff. So, Michael, want to kind of shift gears a little bit here. Want to celebrate, kick off this celebration. It's not easy for anyone doing a radio show, period, producing it, getting it together, getting the resources to accomplish it, and you have done just that. And then you've taken something that is little not talked about all that much, that I've seen, but it affects and impacts so many. And so you were kind enough to say some kind words to me earlier. I'm going to return the favor because it's really important to get everybody back on. And in these next few minutes, we're going to peel back the layers. Your fans have been asking, who is Katrina? Who is Noor? Who is Nicole? And so we want to kind of introduce them a little bit, not just to the angels, but also a little bit more about our illustrious host himself, Michael Hopkins. So we're going to talk to everybody this morning on the show. And if you fans out there, if you want to chime on in, you may. Just press 1 on your phone dial or on your phone. We'll say nobody calls it a dial anymore. Press 1 and we'll get you on to speak and share your thoughts or your sentiment or comment. So let's get your angels on
this morning live on the air. I think it'll be quite nice. So do we have Nicole, Nurjahan, and Katrina with us?
Good morning.
All right. Good morning, Charlie. Yes, that's always what I remember. So, yes, good morning, Angels. <That's>, good morning, Michael's Angels. Listen, I want to jump right on in with you guys. Let's start with a wonderful associate. I think if I have to give, because this is behind the scenes, we're kind of doing a little impromptu behind the scenes this morning to celebrate the 25th live broadcast of Vet Talk Radio Show. Okay, so with that, Katrina, I believe you were the very first of Michael's Angels that I spoke with. If I look back at time, I think you were. And I have to say it was such an honor and a privilege to kind of talk with you about some of the things that we were going to do on Vet Talk Radio Show. But what would you like to say this morning? What has this entire 25th show mean? What does it mean to you? And do you have any special moments that kind of stand out?
Well, it is awesome and a great lesson learned, because Brother Michael Hopkins has taught me a lot more that I didn't know, and now I understand a whole lot with my family that has been in the military, served through, and why they and the way they are, knowing that they've been in the military. I just thought they was acting that way, just be acting, but now I see why being in the military caused them to have this type of reaction in life. It's just not nothing that's done on purpose. Yes.
Exactly. Wow. Well, I tell you, I'm just, every time I think about the contributions of these folks, it's just been just unbelievable. And I'll share some things maybe in the next episode, because I have some comments as well from Carrie Hines that you have not heard about my connection to the military. So I'll talk about that in an upcoming episode. Katrina, you are down in Paris, Texas. I should say out in Paris, Texas. You know, the folks over there, do you see military folks over there? And, you know, does it have a special connection with everything? I understand that, you know, you have a lot of members and folks that you know in the military. But is it big out there in Paris, Texas, or in that area?
Yes, it is. It's also a group here that gets together that also does a celebration for veterans where they give them dinner or just have a celebration out in the park, like with the families and friends, whoever would want to come out and give honor to them and everything. And I go out there and give support every year. But the guy who always got it together, he has now passed on, and I'm still excited, but I'm best friends with his daughter. But it's other people that still get it together. So I still go out there and
you help.
Still participate,
wow,
be a part of it.
We love it. Awesome. You see, this is what we wanted to bring out. Katrina, what would, if you have one thing to share that people don't know about you, what would you like to tell people so that they have a little bit of more knowing of who Katrina is? Anything else you want to tell us about yourself?
Me, I am more of a community activist. I deal with children and homeless.
Awesome. I have no extra words for you except awesomeness. Thank you. Those are things that touch my heart, and good job, okay? You just keep doing
what you're doing.
All right. It's great to have you with us. We appreciate you out here. Katrina, out in Paris, Texas. Now we are moving to one of my other angels. I have three favorite angels. Michael's angels, of course, we're talking about. And Nurjahan, also, who you know, when I just myself had an opportunity to bring, to talk to Noor, and she was so kind to jump on my my other broadcast of Hair Radio Show and talk about different things and lend her support and gave us a real honest review of my show, something I have carried with me as well. And so Noor Jahan, I have to say, we call her Noor out of Clarksville, Tennessee, the one and only Miss Noor. Good morning, Noor. And again, good morning and welcome, welcome, welcome live.
Good morning, Carrie. Good morning, everybody.
Yes, good morning. Listen, it's good to have you with us. It really is. So what we're going to talk first. There are a couple things that I want to ask you. But first, what do you think about today's show? You caught a little bit of Michael's big interview today. What were your thoughts when you heard Brother Michael doing an exclusive interview all by himself today, which was just awesome?
Well, I was really proud, you know, that he was able to get this person on an interview, because so many things are overlooked, you know, with
yes,
some of the things that people do in the service. And so
right,
can't wait to hear the rest of the interview
exactly
later.
Exactly. Yes. And just as a quick reminder, it is available right now. So this, normally we always say, well, you know, you got to go back later and visit at hairradio.com. No, no, it's there. So you can click on the button, go to the Vet Talk page, and it's right there. And listen to the whole piece. It's going to be awesome. Yeah, I totally agree with that sentiment. Now, I've got to turn to you a little bit this morning, Noor Jahan. What would you like folks? Yeah, first of all, of course, before I get to the question, what do you want folks to know about you, Noor, that they may not know so much? But your participation on this show, what does, you know, 25 live episodes mean to you?
Ooh, just the word 25.
I agree.
It's overwhelming.
I,
you know,
totally,
you know,
agree. Yes.
Yeah, it's overwhelming, but in a good way, because it's like, you know, we never thought that we would be here, you know, in this place, you know, at this time. And it's just amazing, you know, because it all started out with just a conversation, you know, that we were saying what we wanted to do, you know, with our lives as far as what our purpose was. And, you know, when Michael started talking about he wanted to help the vets, and all of a sudden now you started out, you gave us a radio show. We just wanted an organization, nonprofit, totally different. So it's just amazing.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I guess. Yeah. Well, I tell you, it's a pleasure to have you guys, because you each bring something different, and the incredible ideas that you guys have and the support that you've extended to me has been amazing. So we're just, like I said to the fans of Vet Talk Radio Show, we're just getting started. That wasn't just a lie. We are just getting started. We've got a lot of things coming down the pike. And when I say that, we really do mean it. So you don't want to ever not check in with us at hairradio.com or tune in on Tuesday mornings. We're going to be right here. So, so Noor, what would you like folks to know? Is there anything you want to share this morning to talk a little bit about yourself? Because we so rarely get an opportunity to do that on the show. So what would you like folks to know?
Sure. So I am basically, I'm a motivational speaker, a domestic violence advocate and survivor, and I'm just all about helping people. So, you know, this is just fit right in, you know, with my personality, because I do like to talk, you know, so it helps me also in that area, you know. And, you know, it's just all about doing, you know, doing God's will. And we can find our purpose, you know, when we help others. And so some of the things that I didn't know that I was gifted in, I found that out through other people when they said, you know what, you should continue doing that because you're really good at it. So those are the things that I look for. That I look at and, you know, want to propel forward. And if I can, I would like to give our company a shout out for everybody who's tuning in right now, because we have a lot of vets in our organization and in our company. So I want to thank them right now. And hopefully they'll press one and say something.
I hope so, too, because you guys have a ton of fans out there. Don't be so shy. Definitely. The Vet Talk folks would love to hear from you guys. Just press one. We'll get you on. But I have to say, Noor, just great job in what you're doing. You each, what I really love about working with Michael and the Angels is that they each have different, skill sets and strengths and personalities, and they each, but together, it's like explosive, so really good stuff, and they work so well together. It's a great joy for me. So I'm so honored. I really am. And continue with what you're doing. The also, before we move away from Noor, you touched on this, which is an incredibly important platform, and that is preventing domestic abuse and domestic violence. Again, the things that you guys are talking about are reaching way deep inside of me. So, please continue. One day you have to kind of give us a real good understanding of your work. And the things that you do to bring awareness to what folks are dealing with around this country. So, maybe we'll get a chance on that special with the Angels that's coming up soon, and you'll be able to really go in, so to speak, expound on it, okay? So thank you for your courage and all of the things that you're dealing with and what you're working on with out there. So out in Clarksville, Tennessee. Of course, Noor, great
Campbell
job, okay? Right, okay. That'll work for us. And, of course, we are moving to Miss Nicole. Nicole is from, and you guys know I say this every week, Water Valley, Mississippi. Do I give it the right accent? Nicole, good morning to you. Oh, let's see if we can find Miss Nicole. No, there you go. Your mic is on now, Nicole. That's Carrie Heinz.
Good morning.
Good morning. You know, I have to hit about 50 buttons here. So here, we got you on, Nicole. So you've been listening.
And definitely, yes, you did give that accent justice. Yes, you did well. Let me say, I live in Water Valley, Mississippi, because that's where my husband is from, but I am a Buckeye at heart. I am from Ohio.
You're kidding me.
And raised, yes.
Wow.
I am a Buckeye at heart.
Well, see, now that is something that we didn't know.
Yes.
That's what this is all about this morning. That's exactly what we wanted kind of get to know. The Angels, you guys are like a myth to people out here. You know, they hear Michael, they hear me every week. They want to know more about you guys as well and what you guys are about and all of that. And that's what we're aiming to do. And we thought the 25th live celebration would be the perfect time to do that. So, Nicole, okay, originally from Ohio. But now you're out in Mississippi, so we'll.
Yes.
So, Nicole, what do you say? You've been listening to today's broadcast. Any comments on what you've heard?
It has been an amazing, amazing 25th broadcast. Michael always starts us out with a bang. I love my brother, and he always brings us so much information, so much key information. And we just love him and appreciate him for that. And my sisters that came before me, we're just grateful and just blessed.
Yes. And I have to say, I certainly echo all of that, just the whole group. And it looks like you guys are doing well. You have a big fan club out there. You have a lot of listeners who tune in to catch your show. And just a reminder that we're going to be on – we're going to rebroadcast on Saturday afternoon at 1 o'clock New York time. If you're in the Central Time Zone, that's noon. And we will rebroadcast today's Vet Talk special. So the entire hour will play on that on Saturday afternoon at 1. So I just wanted to make sure I've said that. Now, with that being said, also, Nicole, let us talk about, we said 25 episodes. Do you have any favorite episodes, any moments, or anything that really has stood out or made a big, big impact since we've been doing the show?
You know what, Carrie? I can't just point out just one particular show or episode because every show is exciting. Every show brings new information. And so it's all just wonderful.
Oh, now that is the nicest thing to hear. It is. And what I love about it is, Michael, and we're going to have Michael, you could chime on in, but it has been something that trying to inform, help the veterans who, you know, the veterans all speak a language that, you know, for someone who, like myself, may not understand every, you know, every reference. But what I love about what Michael has done, he breaks it down as well to help folks who are, you know, the civilians, as I guess you guys say, to understand, to better understand the experience of the veterans. And that's what has made an indelible mark with me is that because they have made this huge sacrifice to, you know, to protect our nation. So, you know, so to me, it doesn't get any better than that and doesn't get any bigger than that. Michael.
Right. And Karen, if I can just say.
Yes. Yes, please, Nicole. Knock yourself out. As they say.
I grew up in a military family. My dad spent 33 years in the United States Air Force and then did 15 years civil service after that. So we grew up in the military. But this
Information
it has
meant a lot to you.
That, right. But this information that Michael is bringing is information that I did not know, that my family members did not know.
Exactly.
So it's just amazing. And very helpful and very informative, yes.
Yes, I totally agree. And I have to say, this is just, I'm going to bring Katrina back in as well. It's just been awesome. It really has been. And Michael, you've helped. Thank you very much, Nicole, for that. And we're looking forward to 25 more, if not 250,000 more episodes of Vet Talk Radio Show. We're going to expand and create an entire world that I think is going to help the veterans even more, and that's what we're looking to do. And so thank you, Nicole. Thank you, Katrina. Thank you, Noor. Thank you, guys, for this effort and this morning in to Michael's interview. Now, let me just remind everybody, Michael's interview can be heard in its entirety on your at your demand when you go to hairradio.com. And go to the Vet Talk Radio page. Click on it. It's free. Doesn't cost you anything. Michael Hopkins, we're working you back in this morning on the Vet Talk Radio Show. What goes through your mind, Michael? It's your 25th broadcast anniversary today on this Tuesday morning, February 15th of 2022, shortly before 9 o'clock New York time, 8 o'clock Central. What goes through Michael Hopkins' mind?
Well, one thing goes through my mind, Carrie, and most people don't really know this because, you know, being us and behind the scenes, the funny thing is you and I grew up around the same neighborhood, and we did not know this until we started talking about Philly.
Yes.
And it was just so funny because I'm kind of a strong believer in destiny. And when people, you meet people and things and you know, it to me, we were destined to meet you to do this. And we just, we love and appreciate you so much just to do this, Carrie, because it is so hard sometimes just being a veteran. It really is. It's hard sometimes. Sometimes it makes us as veterans feel as though we should be ashamed of what we did serving this group.
Wow.
Putting a uniform on. And a lot of my veteran brothers and sisters, a lot of times the only way that we have an outlet is that we have all our different veteran organizations that we meet with each other. And
wow.
This is just giving these the tips and things that I give out and the encouragement that we give veterans. It just means so much to me. And I mean, I'm not a teary-eyed guy, but that's what it brings to my eyes. It brings tears to my
wow.
eyes because it's so much that we've done for this country that sometimes we feel as though our backs have been just, you know, the country turned their backs on us. And this is just one heck of an outlet to get guys, to get veterans, to get my sisters that are veterans. It gives them hope. And
wow.
that's what kind of, you know, it just really gets to me.
Well, listen, I have to tell you, Michael, I think that's the appropriate sentiment, and we share that. And Angels, you guys are still with us on the line. I totally agree. I can't put into words. I don't know what kind of a planet you must be from if you don't find it in your heart to support these folks. I cannot fathom it. And I will continue to do everything I can to make the veterans' lives better. So that is my pledge, and through our work here, we will. And as you guys know, we don't give up. You didn't give up on this country, and we're not going to give up on you. So I just want to say thank you so much for giving me an experience that I didn't even know I was going to have. So you guys, I have to thank everybody for their incredible work on the Talk Radio Show. And we're looking to do some amazing things on this broadcast. I really am super, super hyped and, you know, and we'll continue the work. My favorite thing is to just get folks over to hairradio.com to check out that tab, which is the Vet Talk Radio Show tab, which has tons of information on it. And really, and that incredible interview, because Captain Hervey, he really has quite a bit, and he literally goes in. So if you're listening, even when you're playing back that piece over at hairradio.com, I don't think I would have the little ones around too much, Michael. I don't think, not when
no,
you play that back, because he goes yeah. in. That's,
oh, yeah, he goes
okay.
in real deep. He goes in
yeah,
real
he goes
deep, Terry.
Real
and,
deep.
And he's just being honest, like all of us.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely, and I love it. I love it. I support it. I respect it. And this is why it was important to put the entire interview unedited over there for you guys. Okay? So that was the idea. And so I just have to say thank you. Again, you know, you've knocked it out of the box as usual. So, Michael Hopkins, what would you like to be the next part to your story? I've never asked you that question, Michael Hopkins. We do a whole lot of preparation. Folks think we just get on the radio and talk on Tuesdays. We do a whole lot of work behind the scenes to bring you guys this show. Let me just put that on out there. So what would you like to say is your next, what's the next part to your story? Michael Hopkins.
What I want to do, Carrie, and everybody,
yeah.
my fans out there, I definitely want my nonprofit organization that's geared toward helping veterans. Don't matter what branch, what era, does not matter. And
well,
I'm going to make it a reality this year.
Awesome, and we're going to help you. Okay, we're going to go, so we're going to get the outro started. We'll see you back here next Tuesday, 8:30 regular time, and again, tune in Saturday at hairradio.com for the special hour. Over there. Thank you so much. Have a great week, everybody. We'll see you back here and tomorrow morning at 6 for the Hair Radio Morning Show. Have a great day, everybody.
Well, it's that time to bring this episode of the Hair Radio Morning Show.